Winning season has returned at MyBookie. And do you know what that means? It means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up watching your team, your favorite team, trounce their rivals. It's time to once again celebrate the NFL season. With MyBookie, winning season means being a survivor. It means super contests. And it means squares. It also means doubling your first deposit. With our promo code, DESports, you can invest in your intuition and get up to $1,000 in free play designed to add more. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Use promo code DESports and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. Once again, that code, that promo code you need to double your deposit is DESports. Go.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Wong.
And I'm Josh Lee Kwai.
And we are the hosts of The Command Zone, a Magic the Gathering podcast.
It's your weekly source for everything concerning the game's most popular format, Commander.
Whether you want to discover the perfect old card that you've never seen before, or find out about the hottest tech from the latest set, we've got your back.
Plus, we help you develop the most important skills for multiplayer Magic. We're talking strategy and tactics, proper sequencing, threat assessment, politics, you name it, we dive deep on it.
So why don't you hit pause on the podcast you're listening to right now and go subscribe to The Command Zone for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
We promise you won't regret it.
Well, you won't, but your opponents might.
Yeah, good point.
This is Dead End Sports. This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead End Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me on the show, we got FIFO 24/7.
What it do, what it do.
Beasley 430.
What up, though?
Nikki Duce. And on the screen, you guys see Shelton J.
What's happening?
And he's back.
And my daughter crying in the background.
What up, everybody?
It's the other way around. They come in at daddy, you okay?
I was feeling the same way on Sunday, for real. Yeah, what's good, everybody?
Hey, man, you see, I'm not laughing at your jest because my lines is no different. So I'm.
Oh, my God, man.
I can't.
Let's start the show positive, man. Let's settle in before we get to that, man.
Yeah, but real quick, man, for all the new viewers and people that don't know, man, go ahead and just kind of let everybody know what you're doing, where they can find you.
Any Given Sunday, like the fellas mentioned, new podcast. I've been taking a little bit of a break because I'm working on some things, but coming back real soon in the next 2 weeks, I'll drop a new episode. But yeah, man, dope podcast. Y'all should check it out. It's on, of course, the Dead End Podcast Network, along with a host of other shows. So yeah, check that out, man. It's dope.
All right, man. A lot has happened. We're in a game 7 between the Clippers and the Jazz. And tonight, right now, we have on the iPad the Celtics and the Heat. The score is 110 to 108 in OT. Jason Tatum made a big clutch free throw, and they're fighting for this game 1. So it looked like it's going to be a dogfight. And then, of course, the NFL kicked off as well. So a lot to discuss there. Make sure you guys subscribe, hit the like button on the show, man, and share the show and any crazy takes with your friends and cohort. So, all right, man, let's go ahead and get into it.
Hey, all I want to say is I want to be known as AKA I'm always right about NBA playoff basketball. Just saying. Mostly. The hashtag is always. In real life.
At least you're not Ken calling for a Rockets sweep after game 1. I ain't gonna let you live on that one.
When did I do that?
You said this. You didn't say sweep, but you said the Rockets might win this series.
Oh, I said yeah. I mean, I just call it how I see it, Manny. I just call it how I see it. I said they could beat the Lakers.
Come on, Ken.
That was it. You
know, come on, Ken.
Before a dead clock is right twice a day.
but I'm right more than twice. I'm right way more than twice.
Except about Luka.
Speaking of, we were talking about the Rockets and Lakers, that series. And it was, I felt like it was underwhelming towards at least the last couple games.
It was what to be expected. The Lakers are a better team. I kept saying it even in the previous series. James Harden is what we thought he is. He folds under pressure. Russell Westbrook is too mentally unstable.
Facts.
To be a real championship contender.
None of this is new. Like, it's none of this new. Is not new
D'Antoni
ground.
D'Antoni don't make no adjustments.
No adjustments
they play
at all.
One way. Yep. So what the hell you expect? They small ball against eight.
Against
what's the definition of it? What's the definition of insanity?
Huh?
What's the definition of insanity?
Intended?
Insanity.
Oh, it's, insanity.
Yeah.
No, FIFO, he quit that series. He quit before he quit.
You talking about D'Antoni?
D'Antoni, yes, he did. He was on the sideline, arms folded, chilling.
Nah, don't blame D'Antoni on this one. Like I'm tired of it. Don't you always wonder how? Yo, James Harden apologists are worse than even LeBron apologists, bro. Because it's getting sickening now. Like it's the coach's fault. It's Chris Paul's fault. It's the Warriors are too good. Oh, he's tired. Oh, he's so tired from having to carry the Rockets through the entire season. It's Dwight Howard's fault. I mean, yo, you running out of people to blame, bro. You running out of people to blame.
I've been saying that. You preaching, Manny. I've been saying that, man. Why you think I think these niggas gonna get traded?
I'm so over James Harden, man. Every single year, it's the same thing. All these stat geeks get on Twitter and tell you how James Harden is the greatest player ever created and how his efficiency rate. I don't care about the 60-point triple doubles. I don't care about all the step back threes and all the flashy moves. I don't care. What does this man do in crunch time? What does he do in big spots? 2012, he killed the Thunder in that finals. Killed them. Horrible. 2013 in the first round, he was outplayed by a third-year Damian Lillard. Like, consistently, every single year. Like, it's just, remember that comeback they made from down 3-1 against the Clippers? He was on the bench in that fourth quarter in game six. They made that comeback with Josh Smith and a bunch of nobodies. Like, I'm just so sick and tired of people giving James Harden a pass. It's like, yo, this dude is a stat sheet stuffer. He scores a lot of points. He's a highlight machine. I don't even think he's a highlight machine, but he's a highlight machine, and that is it. That is it. That's all he does. That'll be his legacy, man. I'm just tired of it, man.
And to quote Kobe Bryant, I want to say it was either a year or two ago, he was talking about how
with Tracy McGrady,
how great James Harden is, and let's not diminish what he's doing. But that's not going to win no championship.
No.
And it's not.
That style of play is never going to win.
It's not going to win. And Kobe said it best. It's too easy to stop. In the playoffs, it's hard to stop when you don't play 3 games in 5 nights, bro.
Right.
And I'm tired as hell. And then here comes this guy. You know he's going to get 50 possessions.
Right.
And it's just like, bro, I'm good. I want to go home. But when I know all I got to stop is you.
Yeah. Playoffs is another animal, man. People don't realize.
Facts. Right.
That's all. That team wasn't built for the playoffs in any way.
No.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of moves those were. That small ball is just not built for today's NBA. Not to say that you can't run the lineup like that sometimes, but to construct your team to be based around shooting, it's just not going to work.
Well, Maury is the second biggest problem on that team, on that franchise. Yes. Maury, I don't know how Maury, I mean, he must have Fertitta in his back pocket, bro, because I don't know how Maury just continues to keep picking coaches, keep making roster moves. I mean, the dude can sit. And the other thing about Maury is if you follow Maury on Twitter or you engage, and Maury's one that likes to engage with the fans on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Maury's one of those dudes that thinks he invented basketball. Like you can't question him. You can't question his logic because he created basketball. Like, nah, man, this dude is a numbskull, bro. Like, this dude continuously makes bad deals after bad deals. They don't have a first round pick. I think they don't have a first round pick for the next couple years.
4 years.
Like,
so two things I take away, right? Like, you're talking about the small ball lineup. It does work in the NBA, but you can't all the time play that. There's still bigs in this league that can dominate you. And then if you are going to play predominantly small ball, they don't have a small ball 4 or 5 that can play bigger. Right. The reason why Golden State can do it, because Draymond at 6'5 guards people 7 foot. And he's efficient at doing it. How many 6'5 dudes are guarding 7 foot dudes? There's two or three in the league, bro. You can't do that. That's number one. Number two, Manny, that's the reason why I posted in our group meet what I did. First of all, you trade Lou Williams, Pat Bev, Montrezl Harrell to get CP. then you trade CP to get Russell Westbrook, but you trade multiple first round picks. What is in the cupboard? What is nothing. Because as a GM, you got to play for now and you got to play for the future. You got to have a little bit of both. You got to have your line of sight got to be on both of those things. And realistically, they don't have shit because they ain't got nothing now and they ain't got nothing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, shit.
They're just banking on James Harden figuring it out.
My question to y'all was, should the Rockets keep building around Harden and Westbrook?
No.
I guess y'all understand. Hell nah. What should they do?
Like I said that initially. I just never think that – I didn't think that that combination would work well on the court. I just don't see how – they're both ball dominant. I just don't see how they could play off each other and it made sense. It just didn't make sense to me other than having two superstar players. But they were pretty much the same thing as far as what I saw, you know, as far as an offensive an offensive perspective would go. I just didn't see where that would work anyway. And trading away those picks just didn't make sense. It just didn't. None of it made sense to me.
So I think James Harden and Russ can play together, but it wouldn't be the most efficient thing in D'Antoni's system. Because in the half, I keep preaching, playoff basketball is a half-court grind.
It is.
It's not a full-court game. You could do that for maybe 2.5, maybe 3 quarters. But when it comes down to them possession, look at this Boston-Miami Heat game. It's a half-court grind.
Game, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be stationary and just wait for the ball to do something. That's not going to win you championships. And I think they could win, but at this point, though, Nick, like, I don't understand the moves that you make to bit the – ooh.
Oh, man. Oh. See that?
Wow.
He blocked that?
Yes, he did.
Damn, Bam.
Yo.
The true most improved player in the league.
And they're going to activate Taco Fall this series. Watch.
I was going to say, Taco, like, I would have made that. I would
have done
that.
They're going to have
to. Yeah, they're going to have to. Bam too much for him.
Now, that's how you play helpside defense.
That was an amazing
That's
great defense right there. That's great defense.
That's great defense. Jason Tatum should have made at the end of regulation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh. Man, that's great defense.
That's a great block.
That's a great block.
Celtics just lost the series.
Ooh, man.
Chill out, Ken.
Celtics just lost the series.
Is it still Celtics ball or is it
he see, ladies and gentlemen, see? This is what I'm – okay.
I'm just saying.
Well, he make these. It's a wrap.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Don't
say nothing, Ken.
Yes.
Ooh.
Did that go in?
No. It hit the top of the backboard. It can't count.
Tatum's supposed to be the net.
Y'all ahead of me, man. I'm on YouTube TV.
Him being the Nets. The Nets. We are too.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I feel like I'm behind.
I thought we were behind. They were tweeting videos saying Tatum, the Nets Kobe, right? Didn't we see that?
Beige Kobe, right?
I don't know if he counts as beige.
They don't got no timeouts. They don't got no timeouts.
Oh, wow.
Kobe.
Hell no, this ain't going to work.
It came close.
No foul?
Wow.
That
wow!
Yep, it's all
this series going seven.
Oh, it's like I was telling people, this going to be a dog fight. This is going to be if I'm Miami and Boston, mentally you have to put yourself somewhere else. Like you know,
so yeah, we got to definitely come back fight. To this series
because and it's sad they're going to battle in a tough, hard fought 7-game series all to get slaughtered by my Lakers.
I'm pre-writing my take.
I'm about to get them now.
He damn near made that shit.
Man. Hey, man, these playoffs been like the field of 64, boy. You can't pick none of this stuff.
Nope.
I don't know.
The Lakers were just toying with the Rockets.
They were.
Yeah, LeBron was laughing, smiling. Remember how he was when he played the Hawks? Just having fun.
Doing whatever.
I was just like, man.
Yeah. And Russ was down like 20 talking about y'all.
How is Russell Westbrook been in the league 11 years and he's still the exact same player? Like literally the exact same player. Like has not improved it's not improved offensively at all. Like he's still a mental midget on the court. Like it's just baffling to me. How are you in the league 11 plus years and you're still the same player?
Coaching, Manny. Some players require more coaching for development than other players, right? LeBron literally made coaches, but Russell Westbrook needs a coach. He needs a guy that can challenge him, right? Because Billy Donovan wasn't that guy. Even
Scott Skiles.
It was Scott Brooks.
Scott Brooks, yeah.
Scott Brooks wasn't really that guy. He didn't really challenge that OKC team. So I think Russell Westbrook and D'Antoni, We know D'Antoni ain't challenging nobody. I think Russell Westbrook needs, first and foremost, a coach he respects, because we know the type of temperament he has on the court. So number one, Russell Westbrook has to respect the coach. Number two, it has to be a coach that can call him out and have the balls to sit him down. Hey, bruh, too many turnovers. Come sit right here.
All right. So to answer your question, I think they should still continue to build around Harden. And I think D'Antoni just didn't get it done. That system didn't work. And, you know, they're moving on. So now, based on what you said, because Westbrook is there, unless you trade him for assets.
That's what Harden said. He was like, me and Westbrook got to come back next year.
Yeah, so who should be the next coach? Because they floated out Sam Cassell and Ty Lue. Who do you think can hold Westbrook accountable? Like
Ty Lue can.
Mark Jackson can.
You just need to stop saying
that. I'm going
to
keep saying that's the only name that makes sense these days.
No, Ty Lue makes sense, but
Ty Lue ain't it, bro. But you know he ain't it.
But here's the thing, though. Ty Lue's a player's coach, and players respect him. First of all, you won a championship as a player, and he won a championship as a coach, bro.
And he called out LeBron. So.
Exactly. You can't.
You said he won a championship as a player and a championship as a coach. Was he a factor in either one of those?
Doesn't matter, though. With Phil Jackson.
What are you talking about?
As a coach, yes. But
what I mean, last time, yeah. Phil Jackson won. He won with the Knicks.
Phil was more of a factor than Ty Lue.
Phil Jackson. Hey,
don't come at it. Ain't about the Knicks right now. Don't talk about the Knicks. That's all we got. All right.
We need to give you an example. Yeah. Based off what my pop said, all Phil Jackson going into foul.
Yep.
So he wasn't.
Phil Jackson was a nobody.
He wasn't nobody on.
But at the end of the day, that championship experience is invaluable.
It's invaluable, yeah.
And Ty Lue has that. I'm not saying he's the best man for the job. I'm just saying, in terms of holding those guys accountable, he has the cachet in the pool to do that. Nigga, I won a championship. What have you done?
I don't know. I'm not a Ty Lue fan.
What's keeping him from being a coach, though, Vivo?
What's up?
What do you think is keeping him from being picked selected for one of these jobs?
Ty Lue?
Because of LeBron.
Yeah.
No, I think his best bet right now was probably the Brooklyn Nets job, but I think the relationship with KD and Steve Nash probably overcame that. I don't know. I'm not in those inner circles. I can't really tell you why.
What I was going to say, man, is I honestly think that we put too much of a premium on head coaching in basketball. I think that it's more about who the assistants are than it is the head coach. If you surround yourself with the right people, they're making most of the calls anyway. If you're smart, you're just kind of managing people. And kind of like shaking hands.
But that's a big thing in basketball. Phil Jackson's greatest asset is managing people. Phil Jackson, people underrate people. Like, give me a guy that has the X's and O's. He may not be the best, but has them in whatever form you want him. But he's a people manager. He's a personality manager. That's what Phil Jackson is.
Who is the legendary coach for Detroit?
Chuck Daly?
Yeah.
Chuck Daly.
Same way.
That's another way.
See those, but you're right about those. Both of those guys, I think you're right about. It's just that those are far and few between. In the game, it's really about those assistant coaches and the relationships. If you play sports, I was closer to my assistant coach than I was my head coach. And I had a position coach that taught me, you know what I'm saying? That's where I was getting all my motivation, my exes. Everything I was getting was from one of the assistants. The head coach was the head coach, but my assistant coach is the one that kind of carried me. So, and a lot of players are like that. They have their coaches that they kind of rock with, that they kind of go mess with well. Like Dirk has a coach. I can't think of the guy's name. I can't even remember the guy's name. It wasn't Rick Carlisle, but whoever it was, that was Dirk's guy. So sometimes it's overrated who the head coach is. And I think that's what Brooklyn is trying to say. Because if Steve Nash comes out and wins a championship, does that make Steve Nash a great coach? You know what I'm saying? Ty Lue won a championship, but that make him a great coach, or did he surround himself with great players and great assistants? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, 100%. And I'm not saying that Ty Lue's a great coach. I'm just saying because of his experience, it allows him to do and say things that other coaches cannot. D'Antoni can't call out James Harden and Russell Westbrook the same way Ty Lue can. And I'm not saying Ty Lue's the right man for the job. I'm not even saying he's a great coach.
I don't really buy that one.
I'm just throwing names out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Jeff Van Gundy was another one that they floated out there too. So, but
Jeff's done. Jeff, I don't think.
I know, but I'm just giving you. But I think what they're saying is that they're in for a cultural reset.
Oh, 100%.
So, you really
if they want to
around those two guys, and then you just got to abandon D'Antoni's strategy.
So if they want a cultural reset, how about SVG? Stan Van Gundy.
Nah, you can't do it. You can't do porn stash this time.
He didn't get done. He didn't get done with my Pistons. So yeah, that's not
the Pistons. That was I don't think his problem was coaching with the Pistons. I mean, you would know more than I would. I think his problem was just the GM. He was the GM.
Yeah, he was drunk with power.
Yeah, like had Stan gone to the Pistons with his own guys, the GM, and they could have built that infrastructure together, it'd be one thing. But he went there. He was the GM. He was the president. They gave him the keys to the castle. That was a problem in Detroit.
But you know, the other thing about Stan Van Gundy, though, Manny, he's not a people manager.
He's not.
He's a person that is a micromanager. He's a hoverer.
I agree with you. I like Stan Van Gundy with younger teams than veteran teams. I agree with you. But if you're just solely on the changing the culture thing, then I think someone like a Stan Van Gundy would be more of a change of the culture type hire than just bringing in, Ty Lue or bringing in somebody else.
I think if you bring in Stan Van Gundy, I don't think he lasts the season. I think.
And you may be right.
Similarly, he'll be like Jim Boylan that just got fired from the Chicago Bulls. I don't see that culture meshing long term. I just don't. And here's the thing, man. We gotta stop the retreads in NBA.
Yes.
That's what I was gonna say.
A head coach and not.
We can. I'm not necessarily against Sam Cassell. Yeah.
We
gotta look a little deeper, man. We can't just keep rehiring the same motherfuckers, man, because we're gonna get the same shit.
Yeah,
we have been getting the same shit. We have been. That's why I'm like,
you know who I can see the Rockets? You know who I can see the Rockets going after? Throwing a bunch of money at Calipari.
Something like that. That's what I was.
He seemed like
he
done in Kentucky too.
Yeah, what I was gonna say is I'll be looking to the college coaching ranks. Like you got the Jay Wrights out there. Calipari's, people like that. Like, I bring some different takes in there other than some of these same retreads. I don't see nobody that I would be clamoring to get.
The assistant in San Antonio is a guy that I would be interested. Etuan Messina, whatever, he's a guy that's highly respected. He's a guy that I'm wondering why he's never really gotten a coaching gig like that. I think he's Popovich's right-hand man in San Antonio. Etuan, I forget his first name. I know it's Messina is his last name. But like I said, I would dip into that San Antonio well, get one of those assistants.
San Antonio got a good coaching tree.
Yeah.
As far as productive wins.
Brett? Uh-huh.
I said good, not great.
But
is good for culture if you're talking about culture.
We understand that, but okay. So
we just talked about how you don't need to win a title to be a great coach.
But look, Bud and Brett both are at home right now.
Yep, exactly. They are.
So let's identify where the Houston Rockets are in their timeline. Because if we're talking championship, then to me, Bud, as much as I love Bud, he's not a championship coach. Doesn't make enough adjustments, great regular season, has not had the postseason success that you would like. So Agreed. If you're looking for championship, Bud is not your guy. You're looking for a culture reset, Bud is your guy. Bud is going to win you a whole bunch of games. Bud is going to get you the first, second round, maybe third round of the playoffs, but that's it. Mm-hmm. He's not a championship coach. So we got to identify where the Houston Rockets are and be realistic about it, because they got to turn over the roster again.
They're going to have to. Yeah. That small ball is not going
to
work.
They ain't got nothing to turn over.
No, they've gone all in on the small ball. So they're going to continue the small ball. So their hire is going to be someone out of the box that no one's talking about, I think. Or it's going to be somebody that believes in those small ball principles, because that's just going to be a younger D'Antoni. That somebody, they might let James Harden pick the damn coach for all we know.
Yeah,
like, I think that that's the hire that they're going to make. Once you traded Capella and that contract, you're all in on the small ball. I don't even think, even if they wanted to go back to a traditional lineup, like, what moves can you make? I mean, that's they're so saying. Capped out.
You can't make
like,
nothing.
Well, here's the thing.
Especially with no draft picks.
But here's the thing. Houston still has guys that are coveted by other teams. Robert Covington can be traded for a big.
I would keep Covington.
Or draft picks. Eric Gordon, his contract is sizable. You can trade him for another player that fits the future.
But doesn't that still hurt you?
By giving you're up Robin
these,
Peter
these,
to
these
pay,
are your veterans. These are the ones that
you're
counted
Robin
on.
Peter to pay Paul.
What you get back. And it depends on how the GM and the owner view the team.
Let's keep it above, because I hear what y'all trying to say. Y'all trying to help rebuild. It's done. Okay? It's fucking done. There's nothing that the Rockets can do. They need to blow up. You talking about blowing up? There's the biggest asset they got is Harden and Westbrook.
What did I say in the group meet? I said they might trade both.
They got to trade. And I said it. What did I say at the top of the year? This, before the season started, I said, bro, if the Rockets don't make it to the finals, bro, you trading both of them. You didn't say that. I said you trading both of them. And I knew. I saw it early because I knew ain't nothing. There's nothing that's going to happen. Like Manny said earlier, how many times are we going to blame everybody else but Harden?
No, we called you crazy. You did say that. We did call you crazy.
Call the Knicks. They'll take Harden in a heartbeat.
Hey, Harden go to the Knicks. Hey, boys, I'm rocking the Harden jersey tomorrow.
Exactly.
I was just hoping to get to the playoffs at that point. He can't disappoint me with that shit.
And if I'm the Knicks and if I'm Houston, I consider it. New York needs a preeminent name.
Yeah.
Houston needs a whole bunch of young talent and assets. And they both have each other.
Ooh, Harden in the Garden. Well, it sounds good to me.
Oh, that sounds good.
Sign him up.
we've been talking about coaches. There's another coach that is currently playing a game 7 right now.
Got a super chat about that.
He's on the clock, and I called him out. Uh-oh. Can't try to hold me back, but I called him out. We got
Who was that Jamal?
We got the Clippers and the Nuggets game 7 watching it right now.
Hey.
Oh, no, that's
Hey, listen. Shamit.
Shamit. Ooh, he limping. He limping.
He limped till it's time to shoot the ball. He can shoot.
Mm-hmm. Clippers gonna lose this game.
He limped into a shot.
Thank you, Ken. Hey,
tell him what we talked about back there, though.
So, all right. So I know Manny reacted to it, and so did Ken. But what I said in the group meet was very intentional. The Nuggets can beat the Lakers, and I'm 100% serious, and I think that they're going
to
beat the Clippers.
He bubbled up his projections from 5 years to this year.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I don't know if they win the chip, but here's the thing. Who is a better defensive team, the Clippers or the Lakers?
The Clippers.
And Lakers.
What is their major deficiency?
Clippers are.
A big.
And what is Joker doing?
Killing them. Well, yeah.
He's killing them. In the fourth quarter, he has not missed a three-point shot. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 28-14-5, bro. What are the Lakers gonna do against that? AD can't guard Joker like that.
No, AD ain't guarding. He ain't guarding Joker at all. I don't think. No,
he's gonna. And I don't know what JaVale McGee's status is, but if JaVale is hurt, he can't do that. Dwight Howard too small.
Yeah,
Howard too small, and he could take him away from the 3-point shot. To me, the Nuggets, the way that and I know I talked about it earlier, right? I predicted that they would win a championship at some point in time because what they're doing with their roster is completely different. But how they're playing right now, think about it. Their last four playoff series have all gone to game 7. They know what game 7 feels like. They are battle tested, even though I still think they're too young and inexperienced to truly win a championship.
Yeah.
But look, man, they forced game 7 against arguably the best team in basketball. And then they're going to play against another team that is less.
And being down 3-1. Being down 3-1.
And they were down 3-1.
Yeah.
I respect you. I respect you.
You got to turn the hat backwards.
I respect you selling us on the Nuggets. And look, I respect the Nuggets. The Nuggets have shown me a lot. Let's be fair. This 7-game series is more on the Clippers collapsing than the Nuggets.
Talk about it, Manny.
They've been down, 15 points, game 5 and game 6? Mm-hmm. And the Clippers just nutted on themselves in each game. Let's be fair. If the Clippers if the Clippers even care half enough to be a primetime team, they would have closed the series out in 6. Let's slow down. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. You're right. Yeah. That being said, I don't think the Nuggets compete. I think
we're not at a place to slow down. We're here. What are we slowing down?
Yeah,
we're in game 7, and right now they're losing.
You're right.
They're losing by 3. It's the first quarter. Come on, bro.
They're losing. It's the first quarter, but them motherfuckers look tight. Them motherfuckers look scared, except Kawhi.
It's game 7.
And maybe Paul George. Yeah. And what FIFO said is that the Nuggets have been here multiple times.
That's a good point.
And also, what else did I tell you about Mr. Playoff P? He shoots less than 30% in closeout games.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust James Harden with my life in a game 7. So forget that. The one thing I do like about the Nuggets, they have a killer late in the fourth quarter that is not afraid to take big shots. So that's I do like that about the Nuggets. The thing about the Nuggets is they're too young, they're too experienced, and I think LeBron sees the light at the end of the horizon. Ain't no way he losing to the Denver Nuggets.
All right, so tell you what, Manny, let's not debate something that hasn't happened yet.
Okay,
so we get to that role later. We get to that role later. We'll have that discussion.
Yeah.
But you know,
My thing is like I don't know who said in this chat. I think it was you, B. Doc Rivers, what's his record? Yeah. 3-1.
If he loses this series, this will be the third time he lost a 3-1 lead.
Third time.
After being up 3-1.
And it's getting to the point where I'm thinking that championship he won with the Celtics was he lucked into that.
Well,
I was just gonna say, you know who Doc Rivers reminds me of? He's the NBA version of Mike Tomlin.
Mm.
It's like I love him as a guy. Like, I want to have a beer with Doc Rivers. Like, I want him coaching my son. But it's like, damn, Doc, it's getting harder and harder every year to defend you. When you have...
You see what he did to his son? He chained his ass.
He hated his ass.
That's the least he could do with his son. Shit.
What was about to say, Sam?
It's all hypothetical. If they lose this tonight, that's the third one. The first one came with Orlando, right?
Yep.
The last to my two pistons, would have to my came pistons. With the Clippers.
Yeah, the last two have come with the Clippers.
Maybe it's not Doc.
Break it down. You said
maybe it's the goddamn Clippers. Maybe the Clippers are just goddamn cursed. They'll always be second.
So it's got to be a curse? the way out for this with Doc?
Well, let's talk facts, right?
Okay.
In a lot of those other series with the Clippers, there was always somebody hurt, either CP, Blake Griffin.
You can't give me one game, FIFO?
I get that.
Because you up 3-1, so you got three games left?
But here's the thing. It's not like it was DeAndre Jordan or anybody else. It was literally your top two guys, and they need each other. Yeah. It wasn't like Kawhi or PG where they're independent, right? Like, they don't need each other to be great. Mm. CP can be great on his own, but he's better with a big man.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And Blake could be great on his own, but he's better with a guy serving him up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of those two guys get hurt, bro. That's
it's just like just thinking like if Pippen would have got hurt in some of these Bulls series, and it would have been tough for Jordan.
Okay. Hypothetical, right?
Yeah.
We're playing the if game.
Yeah.
I'm drinking too, so shut up.
I was saying to cut it.
But without Pippen against the Lakers, I don't know if the Bulls win that. Because Pippen literally shut down Magic.
Yeah.
He mitigated what Magic could do. Jordan couldn't do that. Jordan was just a smaller body.
A smaller guard.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it takes a
toll. And man.
You need your second guy.
You need
it's I get what you're saying, but
same
it's like
thing with LeBron not having Kyrie and Kevin Love in that Golden State final.
Yeah, but it's three times, bro. It's three times and twice with the same fucking organization. It's a pattern. It's not this happened one time. Oh, this happened one time. I understand. If that was the case, it'll be out, especially as a black coach. It's three times, bro.
But this will be the first time that his team is fully healthy that it happened. So this, I could put this one on Doc.
You got to put all of them.
No,
Orlando, it's one fucking game.
What
for the West.
Wait, hold on. I'm not observing.
That Orlando one don't count.
Yes, it does. He had prime T-Mac.
T-Mac and Drew Gooden. Like, come on, man.
But if you up 3-1, bro, don't say that shit if you up 3-1.
And this was before
I get it.
He was young, man. It was a long time ago.
That's why I can't get into Cooper shit with Chris Paul. You may say that, but for me.
Here's the thing. I'm not absolving Doc. I'm just saying his piece of the blame isn't as high.
He's the only consistent out of all three of them. He's the only consistent motherfucker.
Injury, bro, come on, man.
I blame the roster construction. I blame the personalities on that team. Like, I just think the Clippers, I think they're similar to the Celtics of last year. Sometimes, like, you just have too many guys. Like, you just have too many talented guys. There's just going to be a problem. Like, sometimes you need guys that are talented, but they know their role. And I think the problem with the Clippers is everybody wants their shine. You got PG. PG thinks he's better than what he is. We all know Kawhi. Kawhi is the dude. But PG thinks he's better than what he is. You know, Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl Harrell will be starting on 29 other teams. Like, let's be real. Lou Williams, he's more of a bench player because of his just prolific offensive ability and lack of defense. But you can coax Lou Williams into starting on mostly every other team, right? Or maybe outside of like a handful of teams, Lou Williams can start.
Who finished the game, Manny?
True, but like I'm just talking about their roles. Like outside of Lou Williams and Kawhi, who understand specifically what their roles are, everybody else, it just kind of feels like they want their shine, and it's just like a personality battle. And some, I saw a tweet earlier that said it best, right? The Lakers are a team, the Clippers are a bunch of coworkers. And if you watch them on the court, like that's how it feels like. It literally feels like a bunch of dudes thrown together that are talented as fuck. But realistically, there's no cohesion. There's no chemistry. You don't even get the sense that they like each other half the time. Like, it's just like, your turn. Okay, Kawhi's turn. It's Paul George's turn. Okay, it's my turn. Okay, we know that Montrez get a turn with the Rock. It just feels like your turn, my turn, his turn, that turn. Like, it just doesn't feel like there's much. You want to blame Doc on that? Okay, you can blame Doc, but I don't know. I think there's more blame to go around.
This is the reason why I'm not worried about the Clippers long term with or without Doc. They got the GOAT GM, bro. This man done built how many dynasties? He built the Lakers, right? Kobe, Shaq, that was all Jerry West. He built the damn Golden State Warriors, that was all Jerry West, including the signing of Mark Jackson and including the signing of Steve Kerr. Like, that's all Jerry West. And then now he pulled off the Tobias heist. He sold high as hell. He pulled up. Come on, man. Like what
he was in. Was he in Memphis too? I think he was in Memphis for a while, right?
He was at Memphis. I think he was at Memphis. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he built the Grand House.
Yeah,
he built the Tony Allen, Mike Conley,
Zach Randolph.
What I like about him a lot is that his style is different at every place he goes to. He doesn't do the same shit.
What is my core, and then he builds around that.
Right. So,
his work in the Clippers isn't done yet.
Especially if they lose this.
Yeah, they're not, you know, he's not done yet.
So let me ask y'all this. So,
and they're up now.
Say, for instance, the Clippers do win this game. Could this adversity help them down the road
against the Lakers? Yes, it could.
They don't need adversity against the Lakers because they already get up for those games. The biggest disappointment and issue with the Clippers is they only see the Lakers. Like, whenever they
correct.
If you're not the Lakers, they're blind to you. They don't really give a fuck about you. They don't respect you. Like Manny said, they don't get up for you until it's game fucking seven. But for the Lakers, they battling. They showing like, all right, this is what we came here. This is the reason why the whole team was built like this, to beat y'all motherfuckers and get past y'all and win the chip.
Correct. They were looking ahead. This whole 3-1 thing, they were looking ahead. They were already on to the next series in their mind. So I think that along with the fact that Denver just came back 3-1, they've done it before. Denver was playing to win every game by game, whereas the Clippers were kind of like showing up thinking they were going to win every night. I think, like you said, they were looking ahead, and it showed. And, you know, they let Denver stay around. Now it's a game, one-game series, and it's anybody's game because these boys are on the high right now. So we'll see what happens, but I think the Clippers are going to pull it out.
Yeah, Doc going with his guys in this one.
Yeah, he got to.
Yeah.
At this point,
Trez been in the game since this shit started. I think it could help. I think they'll be up for them, like they have been the regular season. So we'll see.
Yeah, I just don't think this Clippers game. I don't see the Clippers losing 3 straight. I think they're gonna get this.
Yeah, that's horrible. That'll be a stain on
this one out. But we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Last question so far, because we just got done wrapping up the Celtics Heat game.
Well, let me ask this super chat real quick.
Okay.
About because it's Clipper related. Haley Race asked, who do y'all think Montrez Harrell thinks is better, Luka or Joker?
Luka.
Joker.
I think he thinks Joker is better
because he has to guard him.
He knows it's like.
He has to deal with that on a nightly basis.
Luka, he could just rough up whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But Joker, you got a body.
You got to feel that every night. You got to deal with that.
Yeah, he called Luka a white boy. He's saying that's a white man.
but that's the man.
Right.
Yeah, definitely Joker.
Joker.
For the reasons that y'all say, that's why I think that it's he thinks the other way. If I'm guarding Joker, Joker good, but I'm feeling like I'm better than him because we going heads up.
When he don't never feel that way. He don't feel that way, bro. Come on.
You don't think he better than...
No. When he look at his bank account, he look at Joker bank account. I ain't better. When I look at that scoreboard, I ain't better, bro.
When you a baller, you know how you feel. Like, I could take this dude any day of the week. This is a dude I can go straight up with. When he looks at a Luka, that's a guy, that's a guard. He can't mess with them guards like that.
You just called him a punk ass white boy. How much more disrespectful can you get?
Shelton, Joker's putting up 30 a game.
He can't mess with Joker.
What do you mean it don't matter?
In your brain, as a guy that's guarding somebody, especially a guy like Montrez, them dudes think that they the shit. I'm the man. I'm gonna stop him
in the game. But all like, day. When we're just talking basketball, hell no, there's no way. No way.
All day. No. Him and Pat Bev, you seen Pat Bev do the same thing. Pat Bev, you'll score 30 on him and he say he shut you down. It's the
Joker
same.
Joker is way more skilled than Luka.
What?
I can't say that. I can say that. I love Joker. Don't get me wrong. I love Joker. But what I'm saying is, if I'm able to guard, like if I'm playing another guard, I'm not going to be as intimidated by a person that I can guard. Even if he's better than me, I'm not going to be as intimidated by him as I would be a big man because I can't guard a big man. I'm not going to guard some 7-footer as effectively as I would somebody my own size that can get off. That's kind of how I feel like Montrez would kind of look at it. So he would have more respect for a guard that he know he can't guard as opposed to a big man who he plays every night.
I think Montrez looks at all European players as soft white boys. Like I think if you gave Montrez truth serum, he think Jokic is soft. Like I just think that's how Montrez's DNA is. I think he probably got more DNA for Luka after the fact now. Like now, knowing that Luka, when the lights was on bright, he stepped up. He played with a bad ankle. Like I think he earned. I think coming in, like I think if you would have asked this question, like when the playoffs first started, I think he probably would have said, "Oh, like you said, Luka's a punk ass white boy." I think after the fact, he earned Montrez's respect. And even now in this series, I think the same thing for Jokic. I think before the series, you probably said Jokic is another soft ass, you know, whatever.
Right.
And now I think he's like, yo, Jokic's that dude. So.
Right.
But I think I think he probably hate every single European white boy. He think they all soft.
Yeah.
Because that's a narrative. That's a real narrative. Like,
yeah. Pat Bev is a joke.
But that narrative, let's be honest, it's kind of over.
It is.
I think Manu was the first one to really break that. Well, no, I even take that back.
You talking about Dirk?
No, not even Dirk. Pedro, he played.
Petrovic?
Petrovic?
Petrovic.
Petrovic.
The one that played for the Nets. I know you're talking about.
Petrovic, yeah. Yeah,
Petrovic. Yeah. That was the first mug that I looked at. I was like, okay, he
built rest different. In peace, Josh.
Yeah.
Yep. I feel Tony was soft. Tony Kukoc was soft, but playing against the Olympic team and then playing with the Bulls, it toughened them up a little bit, but he didn't – in his DNA, it wasn't there. I think Stojakovic was a shooter, but he wasn't soft. He was just a shooter. His game wasn't, you know, well-developed. He didn't take contact or nothing like that. Arvydas Sabonis was definitely not soft. So I think that narrative is overused. And in today's game, these foreign-born players are just as tough as American
players. Well, I won't say that. I think the game has changed to where it's gotten softer enough for them to dominate as well now, too. Because you can't hand-check. They call ticky-tack fouls, like, It's catered around the EuroLeague.
The EuroLeague is way tougher.
No, I'm saying it's catered to around as far as like they can, like the white guys shooting range and all that other stuff. It's catered to what they do now. So they can get off.
Nah, but look, the second best league right in the world, I want to say that's not ACB. Why am I thinking ACB? Well, whatever that shit is in Spain, the joint where Luka didn't play professional ball since he was 13 years old. Their game is more physical. You look at Australia, they're considered a top five league in the world. Every league outside of the NBA is more physical than the NBA. Mm-hmm. So that narrative
has always been weak. That narrative has always been weak. Because if you look at it like Petrovic and Vladi and all these dudes, man, they grew up in Europe. But these dudes grew up in war-torn countries. Half of them have military commitments. Like, so this idea, just because they didn't grow up in the hood, just like they didn't grow up in Cabrini Green somewhere playing basketball in the projects, doesn't mean they're soft. Like, some of these dudes grew up in worse situations than Chicago or Brooklyn or the Bronx or whatever. 100%. So the whole narrative is just, it's just because they're white and they shoot jump shots and they have flowy hair. People think they're soft until you actually play against them.
Yeah, playing in some
that they don't have like as much as us.
They throwing stuff on the court. It is some toughness to it, but at the same time, are we overrating them because some of those guys come over and succeed? Or because I don't know. Like I got to go back and look at. I haven't looked at much international basketball at all lately, but I still think that those guys are far and few between. It's not like a lot of those guys can come over here and play the league. Only some can come and be successful like that. You know, there's not many jokers out there. It ain't many Lucas.
No, 100%. But there's not a lot of MBs. There's not a lot of James Harden. Like, at the end of the day, is the cream of the crop. I think the one thing that American-born players still have over European-born players, and we see it, is athleticism. So if we're saying athleticism equates softness because you don't have as much as I do, okay, I'll give you that argument, but these guys are not soft. Luka is not soft.
Yeah, I don't think they're soft.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not as – you can't jump like me. You can't run like me, but shit, you can ball just like me. Yeah. And we see that. That's the reason why I love the NBA, because it's not all about athleticism. Yeah, you may could run, jump, do whatever, but if I'm super skilled, bro,
it's all about shooting. Yeah, it's skill set now.
You know what I'm saying? So, nah, man, I don't like that narrative that foreign board players are weak or soft. The only thing they don't have that we have is athleticism. We are way more athletic than they are. That's it.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, we got the wrap up to the first game of the Heat Celtics conference final series. Heat won, pulled it out at the end, even though the Celtics were up by double digits in the fourth. The question I got is, Fivo, you drinking? So I'm gonna get drunk off of the energy in the room. If Jimmy gets the Heat to the finals this year, would he be a superstar?
I think that Jimmy is the top of the second tier or bottom of that first tier of players. And so
he's out of the top 10, but in the top 15?
I'm not going to put a number. I'm tiering it, right? Like you have superstars, all-stars, you know, championship role players. You got a whole.
So he's an elite all-star is what you're saying.
Yes. He's at the top of that second tier, bottom of that first tier. And I think he teeters back and forth depending on the night. And I think that there's a lot of players like that, because what drives Jimmy, what makes Jimmy great is the mentality. The skill set is there. He's worked on it. But is he a great passer? Is he a great shooter? He's a great defender. But offensively, what makes him great? It's his determination. It's his mentality. It's the dog in him. That you think you're better than me, but I think I'm better than you. And I think I'm better than LeBron. I think I'm better than everybody. And because he has that mentality, he's able to elevate his game in moments. But can he do that consistently? We haven't seen it.
I mean, we're seeing it now, though, right?
But there's games that he's kind of disappeared offensively. He's still in the game, and his DNA is all over the game because that's what makes him great, right? But when you start comparing him to the LeBrons, to the Kawhis, he don't got half of the tools they got.
Would you say James Harden is a superstar?
He is, just because of what he can do.
Let me ask,
I would think Jimmy should be if he gets them to the finals. I'm saying
that's not criteria for being a superstar.
What's the criteria for being a superstar?
Definitely not getting to the finals.
Okay, so then that's what I'm asking. What is then?
I mean, I'm talking about as far as him
being able to will this Miami Heat team, who nobody thought at the beginning of the season they would come out the East, or let alone even be in the conference finals. Like, does that not say anything about his
number one, he disappeared a lot in the last series. He had bad games the last series. That's a unit. That's a team. That's Spoelstra. That's Pat Riley. That's the Miami organization.
So you're giving that credit to more to them than him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So what about him elevating the people around him and making them better?
I think he was the final piece of the puzzle. I don't think he made them better. I think he completes what they already have.
Mm.
But I don't think that they're a championship team as constructed. I still think that for them to legitimately be a favorite, because they're not a favorite. Would y'all consider them a favorite?
I don't know what to consider them
after this run.
Yeah, I'm just watching at this point.
To answer your question, no, but I'm just like, I'm confused. I don't know what to make of this team anymore.
They're just a gritty team with a championship head coach.
And I think this bubble got a lot to do with all the craziness that's going on.
We talking about Miami? My bad, I had to step away.
We're talking about Miami. Yeah. I just think also too, just the bubble, just being in this bubble is different for everyone, for all these teams. So.
And then also look at Jimmy's mentality when they ask him, "Hey, did you bring anybody?"
Yeah.
Nope.
No,
it's a business trip.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody here, bro.
Yeah.
I'm here to do one thing.
His mentality is just different.
Right? His mentality is his special attribute.
He's matured a lot. I'm impressed by that. Yeah. Miami's a weird team because they're kind of like a hodgepodge of different players. They got some veterans. They got young players. It's just like a hot. I don't know what to make of them. I agree. It's a combination of all things y'all mentioned. Like a lot of it has to do with the bubble. I think a lot of it is they just started peaking at the right time. They're also very talented. I don't know if they're a I don't think they're a championship level team. Are they a team that can make a conference finals? As we've seen, yes. But championship, I think they're missing a truly great player because Jimmy's borderline a great player. To me, Jimmy's more of a number two option on a great team than he is the guy. We'll see. I don't know. It's weird to evaluate Miami. Like I think they're missing.
I was gonna say if he gets the Heat to the finals, he's a superstar in my book. I'm sorry. He beat Giannis to beat Boston. If they get to, obviously they would have to beat Boston to get to the finals. Like in a year where you were the last thing to be, you know, we gave all that credit to Chris Paul and shit like that. We got to give some love to Jimmy Butler. He ain't just. But I'm just saying, y'all saying like, oh, he ain't. I'm like, nah. He's that Manny dude said, right now. He won the game. Shit.
Look, bro. To what Manny said, on a consistent basis, Jimmy is more of a number two option than a number one.
Right.
He is, and that's no knock on him. It's just that he's not that consistent.
And I feel like he's proven he's a number one option throughout this playoffs.
Hell no.
Jimmy is what we. Low. Jimmy is what NBA Twitter thinks Paul George is. Like, Jimmy is what everybody thinks Paul George should be. Like, that's what Jimmy is. I just think it's no disrespect. It sounds like a disrespect, but I just think Jimmy on a great team, like a truly great team, I think Jimmy's that second guy. He's your Robin. He's the guy that goes with the guy. I think if Jimmy was on the Bucks, I think that team would have won a championship already, 100%. Or at least been on the final.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? You swap Middleton with Jimmy Butler. I think that's a championship team.
The mentality. Because look, if you look at Paul George, right? And I'm glad you brought up Paul George, Manny.
Yeah.
Paul George skillfully has way more in the toolbox than Jimmy does.
And he's 1-for-7, unless it changed. He's 1-for-7 tonight.
Paul George. Yep. Yeah.
But what's the difference between PG and Jimmy? Is that between the six inches between the ears, bro? Yeah. Jimmy is elite when it comes to mentality, to the IQ, to the preparation, to the hard work.
Stuff that's not on the stat sheet. Yeah, the intangibles.
He's an elite intangibles guy. But physically gifted, he don't have as much as Paul George. But the difference is, I would take Jimmy over PG. I would definitely take Jimmy over PG. But it's because of the mentality. And he's definitely a number two. If not on a super great team, he's a number three.
If he played
with LeBron and AD, he number two? Come on, man.
The perfect encapsulation of it, if you're a GM, and you know how GMs fall in love with athleticism and all those things that are flashy, right? If you're a GM and you're picking in an NBA draft, if you ask 10 GMs, 9 of them would pick Paul George in a draft over Jimmy Butler on just sheer skill and talent alone. But Jimmy Butler has the things that you can't measure on a stat sheet. He has that toughness, that grittiness, everything. The only issue with Jimmy Butler's always been has been he kind of wears out his welcome wherever he's at. Chicago, he wore out his welcome after a while. Minnesota, we all know what happened there. Philly, we don't even need to discuss that. I think the only question has always been with Jimmy Butler is his attitude, his presence in the locker room. On the court, he brings it every night. He competes. He's a dog defensively. All the things that Paul George should be.
Right.
I would say that the reason why he ain't stunk it up yet in Miami is because it's the beach. You know what I'm saying? It's, he's been looking for a warm weather city. That's all that traveling was. He was just trying to get to Miami.
Because he is already part of that Miami culture. Because that's set by Pat Riley.
Facts.
Pat Riley is still an old school type of guy, dog. We still gonna practice hard. We still gonna come into training camp. You better be in shape before training camp. You ain't gonna use training camp to get in shape. So that hard work mentality, hard nosed blue collar work mentality has already been set in Miami. So Jimmy fits like a glove there. He ain't gonna rub nobody wrong. You know why? Because when Jimmy says something, you know, Pat Riley gonna come down and be like, what the hell? You cut. You know what I'm saying? They ain't playing that shit over there, man. Ain't playing that over there, dog.
We talked about Westbrook earlier. I think that would be like the only place that a Russell Westbrook would actually fit, crazily enough. Like I think Miami would be a place where Westbrook would go to, and I think Pat Riley will sit him down. Like he does, like Pat Riley, there's been an infamous story that Pat Riley just sits his rings down, just puts it on the table, and just asks people like, yo, you want one of these? Do this, and I'm gonna get you there. I think that's the only place in the NBA right now that you would trade a Russell Westbrook to and it might actually fit.
Yep, I agree.
With the coach, too.
Yeah, with the coach and with Jimmy. Yeah. Shit, yeah. Jimmy would love to have a dude like Russ.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with you, Manny. I agree with you. I know when there was rumblings earlier this offseason that, you know, potentially Russell Westbrook could be traded to Miami, going there with Jimmy. I loved it. I thought it fit then. I think it fits now. But I don't know. We'll see. But yes, 100%, that mentality there. And the fact, look, like I said, man, for Russ, he needs a place that he can respect. Oh, you got chips? Yeah. I can't bark at you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think Riley would rein a lot of that into that out of control nature of his. I think Riley would mold some of that and kind of control some of that up. So, yeah, I think it could work. I mean, I would literally pay money to be in a locker room meeting with Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook. Like, I would just kill for that.
You know, I know Millsap.
I would love to see a practice. I'm sorry, man, but I'd love to see a practice.
I was just going to say, I know Millsap saved one of these games, but bro, he just be messing.
Ken Hayes, stick a Ken Hayes.
Every time they put him on the court, man,
all he went to do to Denver is get paid.
Just made a nice move, Ken.
Can't hate Millsap, boy. I swear.
He's over. His time is done. He had that nice little game that got him back into the series or whatever. But nah, man, like at some point he's gonna have to let MPJ just go. I keep saying it. He's the guy this time. They need third guy.
I agree. He should probably get about 12 minutes a night. Yeah, that's about it right now.
All right. So before we transition to football, I guess, what if Boston loses this series? And I guess maybe we should go in and make our picks too.
But, yeah, that was my last question.
Like, how are we going to look at Brad Stevens? You know, I mean, people have been touting him as the next guy. So I guess we'll have that discussion when we see how the season shakes on.
Yeah.
But we're going to make our pick.
What's your pick since you over here started the question?
Boston is 6. Mm. It's their best chance to get to the finals.
It is. Well, you could have said that last time when they faced LeBron in game 7.
No, I knew they weren't going to beat LeBron. Nah.
I mean, that was a good chance.
Nah, this is their best
chance.
That
was a good chance.
This is the moment. The only person that's standing in front of you is Jimmy Butler. And if Jason Tatum is supposed to be that superstar and that guy ahead of that, hey, this is his coming out part.
So you said so you said Boston in 6. Who you got, FIFO?
I got Boston in 7. I think that mentality that the Miami Heat bring, we see it in game 1. We see it in game 1, and I think that I want to say what Ken just said. I said that like a week or so ago.
You're
like
taking your points, man.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, I know I said something very similar to that. But, you know, Jason Tatum is an ascending superstar, and he's already gone through a lot of the playoff grind, you know what I'm saying, having to play against Cleveland and LeBron and all of that stuff. So at this point, this is that jump. This is that jump. And Jimmy Butler is a good test. Jimmy Butler is a good final or stage boss. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get to Jimmy, and you got to get past Jimmy, and then you got to, you know what I'm saying, get to the next level. But I like what Boston has. I think that talent-wise and even experience now, because you look at Miami, the guys that have experience, they have a lot of experience. But then the guys that don't got nothing, but they got the mentality, which is why I think they'll push it to 7. But I just think Boston got a little bit too much of everything. So I'm picking Boston 7.
Yeah, I got Boston in 7 as well. I think they're going to be too much for them overall. But, you know, like I said, I've also said this is going to be a dogfight. So that's why I'm picking Boston. Boston in 7. I think at the end of the day, they're gonna get through this series. It's going to be a tough one, though.
Who you got, Sheldon?
I got Boston in 6, but I would not be surprised if it's the Heat in 6. I think this series is going to go 6 games. But I'm leaning towards Boston. I've changed probably about 4 times in the time that everybody else has been talking in my head. But I think that both these teams bring something great to the fight, man. And it's a good fight. I just don't think it'll be 7 games. I think it'll be 6.
Manny?
Sitting here watching this game while y'all talk. I got Boston in 7. They were my finals pick before the bubble. When we got to the bubble, they were my finals pick. I just think it's Boston's time. I think FIFO mentioned it, that this is the year now. No more excuses, no more Kyrie, no more we were young in game 7 and we ran into LeBron. This is the time. You know, it's the time. I think if they lose this series, I don't think I don't think Stevens is in any trouble because I think he's a hell of a coach. But I think that the tide starts turning a little bit. I think you start seeing Stevens getting that Bud treatment, like, yo, this is a good coach, but can he really win a championship? Is he a guy that you trust to win a championship? So I think the tide starts to turn there when it comes to Brad Stevens. I mean, I know some people are already there with Brad Stevens, but I think it's a 7-game series. You can just tell by tonight. But I just think Boston has the best player on the court, arguably. But yeah, they have the best player on the court in Tatum. The X factor to me is going to be Kemba, man. I don't know what Kemba did. I missed much of that first game tonight, but I think Kemba, he doesn't have to be their best player. He has to be their closer. Cause I don't think Tatum's there yet as a closer.
Yeah.
So I think Kemba has to be their closer. Kemba has to be that guy in the fourth quarter that takes the rock and like, yo, cardiac Kemba from Connecticut. Like,
yes,
that's the guy that they need. That's their X factor. If he even plays halfway like that, I think this series, it might be Boston in six, but I'm going to go seven.
If you watch that last play when they got the dunk block, they were looking to go to Kemba. They were trying to get the ball to Kemba again. And I think that you're right about that. Kemba's the closer.
Yeah, I'm going to say Boston in seven. I just think that with Kemba, I think he has all the skill sets to be the closer. I just think he's never been here before. I think it's more about the – and I know he's an older vet, but these are the, you know, these are the games that he's always wanted to be and he's finally there. And I feel like he's just still like getting his legs underneath them. That's why you see so much inconsistency with him throughout this bubble. Like, I feel like there's certain games where he goes off and there's other games like, where the hell is Kemba at? So if he can show up, I think it's Boston in five. If he just shows up that consistently, honestly, cause Kemba's he's a 20 to 25 point player off rip. But, I think it's going seven cause it's just Jimmy.
But your superstar don't make it, huh? Who just shot that ball? Who just shot that?
I was just thinking you was
kind of middle south. No, he just. Well,
no, you're right. No, it was middle south. And Joker tried to get the rebound.
Yeah.
You going to call out every little
He is.
They trying to hold on, man. Like, this is that Clipper surge that they do to you.
Well, I'm not worried about this because the Clippers been up hella before, and I'm worried. Can they stay up in the fourth?
They've changed their defense, so they're doubling a lot on Murray and Joker. So they're trying to let the others.
Everybody else score,
which is a smart strategy.
Yeah, especially you got Millsap.
Why is on one right? Well, but you can't let Millsaps beat you, Denver.
I'm gonna tell you like this: if Denver can close this halftime gap to five or less, they're gonna win the game.
I ain't gonna say all that.
There you go. Here go Murray.
That's cool. You don't have to.
I can't say it because I got the Clippers in the finals. Hey, look.
The majority of the guys here, right? Like, we used to have a dead end sports text thread before we converted it. Y'all remember a couple years ago what I used to say with the Cavs? Cavs and seven. Hey, Ralph, you crazy. You this, you that. Cavs and seven.
You mean the Golden State series? Huh? You mean the Golden State series?
He always reminds us of his. He had to go all the way back to the Cavs. That's probably the last time he was right, wasn't it?
Never fails. You probably got to shit screenshot.
You talking about Larry Nance?
I was right here when I said Denver or Denver's going to push it to seven. Everybody thought I was crazy. Denver's going to push it to seven. They got the talent.
Is that okay?
Did you say Denver and seven? I don't think so.
I don't remember him saying that.
Clippers in seven. I picked the Clippers.
No, I mean, like, did you pick? I didn't know if you picked the series to go to seven.
I don't remember him saying that.
Clippers in seven. Yeah, he said Clippers in seven.
I know what I'm talking about.
I'm going to go back to
that. I said Clippers in six, so.
I know what I be talking about, man.
All right, moving on to the NFL.
We'll be back after this quick break. Hey, Dead End Sports listeners, Ken here. Listen, winning season is back. It has returned at my bookie. And you know what that means? That means that you get to double your first deposit at MyBookie. Winning season means hitting all of your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. It's time, once again, to celebrate the NFL season. So don't wait any longer. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code DESports and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. Use promo code DESports and double your first deposit. It's simple. You make your picks, you win big, and you collect your cash. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie.
Ravi said something to my customer.
Yeah, she asked me if this was the Prius of trucks, and I said no.
Oh, no, Ravi.
What? It's not. You want me to just lie to a customer?
Ravi, you always tell your friends their baby is beautiful, and you always tell a soccer mom that she's getting the Prius of whatever the hell it is she's getting!
Vroom Vroom is a workplace comedy set in a used car dealership.
Not used, certified pre-owned.
It's the story of a, you know, a sort of de facto family, but it just happens to be set in a car dealership in upstate New York.
It's about the friendships, the love that grows, and how they root for each other and fight with each other and build with each other.
Listen to it with your friends. I made it with mine.
Vroom Vroom.
Starring Andy Richter as Gary Galea, Yvette Nicole Brown as Janelle, and John DiMaggio as Wild Ron. Created and directed by Josh Koenigsberg. Vroom Vroom, available now, only on Audible.
Greetings and salutations. My name is Colin Moriarty, a 20-year veteran of the gaming industry and co-host of the mega-popular Sacred Symbols, a PlayStation podcast, a weekly show I do with my good friend, YouTuber and comedian Chris Raygun. Now, PlayStation has a 25-plus year heritage, but this year is going to be especially big for the brand, what with PlayStation 5 launching this fall. Our show, Sacred Symbols, delves into all you need to know about Sony's upcoming console, week in and week out. And we also give tons of love and attention to the current gen, too, including PlayStation 4, PlayStation VR, and yes, indeed, our beloved PlayStation Vita. We dive into the news, the games, the rumors and speculation, and even the drama of the PlayStation ecosystem, and we do it each and every week, without fail, just for you. If you want to get expert PlayStation commentary and analysis with a heavy dose of humor and irreverence, consider subscribing to Sacred Symbols, a PlayStation podcast, available on podcast services everywhere. We'll keep you informed, give you some stuff to think about, and make you laugh, too. That's Sacred Symbols, a PlayStation podcast, on all major podcast services.
Did everybody watch? I know we ain't watched.
NFL. Yeah. No, I didn't watch
highlights. You saw highlights?
Yeah, I saw highlights. Like I think that was,
I know what happened.
Lomir was watching.
What happened? I ain't watched it, though.
I watched all the games. Great football this weekend for it to be a first week and no preseason. I'll say that.
Yeah, no OTAs, no preseason. Yeah, it was very entertaining to say the least.
Yeah.
So, all right, we ain't going to bury the lead with the NFL. We already know what everybody wanted to talk about. Is Joe Burrow a future Hall of Famer already? Let's just get it out the way. Let's talk about Joey B.
Golly, get to the Pro Bowl, my guy.
You know I got to talk about, guy.
To the Pro Bowl, nigga. Go 8-8.
Damn.
He look good.
He look good, though.
He look good, though.
Hey.
That's what y'all telling me.
Him and AJ had a good connection, even though they was the refs been calling bullshit.
I thought AJ only had Burrow's average at best.
He had a game-winning touchdown. They called it back.
Mm-hmm. At best average. That was you're playing against a Tyrod Taylor-led team, which is no offense whatsoever. He was average at best. I watched a lot of that game, and
I average at best.
Average at best.
Ooh, that's a hell of a
average. That's
I don't know about that. I don't know about average at best.
That was an up and down performance.
He's a young quarterback in his first game. Like I don't think anybody expected him to go out there and throw. I mean, Nick out here making it sound like he had a.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I say average. He was 23 for 36 for 193 yards, no touchdowns, one. Crazy interception. He didn't do nothing.
And that was nothing's a little strong. He did have a killer run for a touchdown. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Strong.
That was a nice touchdown run. That touchdown run was nice. Other than that, the man did nothing. Because this Chargers team couldn't do anything.
He had him at the goal. He had him in the red zone with a game winning touchdown that was called back on I'll be nice. Questionable at best, you know. Offensive pass interference. So I think he played well. I mean, he's a rookie quarterback. So you're going to have games like this. I wouldn't be surprised if next weekend or this Thursday coming up, he goes out against the Browns and, you know, has a good game. Cause you're going to get uneven performances with young QBs. You're going to have one game where they throw for 300 yards and two touchdowns. And then you're going to have one game where they, you know, have a QB rating of a 60. So you're just going to have to take your lumps with a young QB, man.
How many games before it takes him to get to 300 yards, though?
I'd say about week 4.
It might be this week.
It could be. I just don't see it. He got some good wide receivers, and I just didn't see him getting them. Once again, it's early. We didn't have a preseason. He's a young guy. He was voted captain, though, which that speaks volumes, but we just got to see. I just didn't see it. I watched him playing.
Yeah.
I didn't know Magic there. I didn't see him getting the ball up.
Tyler Boyd, 4-point game. 4-point game with 38 seconds left.
There you go, FIFO.
Look, like I said, if Denver closes out the half less than 5 points down, I'm saying that they're winning. And the reason why is because the Clippers are a championship team. They're a championship contender. We saw them tighten up, and they put the lead out to 12. If Denver can stay within striking distance, tell you, them boys is really playing with house money. Damn, Jamal, that's how you feel? Hey, Denver going to win. Yep. Denver going to win this game, bro.
That should have been a blocking foul.
Denver going to win this game. Watch.
Did they make this last? Yeah, they made this shot as a wrap.
There you go, Kawhi.
That was some horrible calls down the stretch.
Hey, Denver about to win this game.
Slow down, they survived
the push by the Clippers.
You know, it's a game. Is that the only run they're going to have all game?
This third quarter is going to be key.
You got what I was watching was the Clippers came out. They pressed down on Denver. They tightened up their defense. They ran different schemes. They started doubling the shit. They had Denver like on their heels.
Ooh, that's a nice adjustment.
This third quarter is going to be key because Denver's
Jamal got 25 too. Back.
Now Paul George got in foul trouble, and he had to go sit on the bench. But this is PG-13 is back.
This third quarter is going to be key because Denver's a lot like Golden State, where you just got to survive their avalanche because Denver could come out and just go on an avalanche for a whole entire quarter. So I think if Denver can do the same thing that they've done the last three games or the last two games before this, I think it might be the other way around.
I think they just got to survive. I felt Denver had to survive the Clippers avalanche and, you know, get that game, get it within, you know, winning and they've done that. So now it's adjustments, it's coaching, it's who's going to make, you know, the plays down the stretch. Can Harold keep continuing to carry this team the way he has? So I don't know. We'll see.
Going back to the NFL, I don't know if y'all watched the highlights of that Bucks Saints game.
I did.
But
I watched the game.
I got it. Should Brady have retired last season?
Damn. I'm saying it early.
I'm saying it early.
Hey, look, he looked that bad.
Bro, he had a pick six.
No, wait, hold on. I'm not gonna let you do my
That's
guy
not
Brady
fair.
Like that.
I'm just saying, you just called him your guy now.
But I have to because I gotta coddle him because you over here being mad disrespectful.
What did you always used to tell me about Melo?
Out the league and win. All right, so what you talking about? Disrespect. Are you talking about future Hall of Famers?
Hey,
come on, man.
Out with Melo for years, I've been saying the one place he could play is Portland. That was even before you came on.
I understand, but you always got an out for you. I'm doubling down on mine. Ten toes on mine. Brady should have been out there. Brady should have retired last year.
Because there's options in real life. And all I'm saying is with the Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Bucks scenario, Tom Brady looked like there's a new team. He's playing for a new head coach. There's no OTAs and there's no preseason. There were glimpses of like, oh, shit, this is going to be crazy. And then glimpses like, what the? Like, nobody, y'all was not seeing the same damn thing. It's going to take this team between 4 to 6 weeks to look like the real team. Here's the thing. They're not going to win the division.
Okay.
They're going to be a wild card team, but it's all about how you finish the season and getting on that run. And this team, the way that they're constructed with that offense, they are going to go on a run at some point in time. And when they do it, they're going to damn near be unstoppable.
What about their defense?
I agree with FIFO. I agree.
Their defense is good enough. It's not stellar, but Todd Bowles has made a tremendous turnaround, especially going from the last 3 or 4 weeks of last season. They were a dominant defense last year. I'm not saying they're going to be a dominant defense this year, but they're going to be good enough to hold down the fort. They're going to be good enough to allow that offense to win games, and they're going to be good enough to win a couple of games when they need to.
And you got to also factor in, too, they didn't really have a preseason either.
new starters do they have? Look at how many new starters they have. I mean, I think you got. I'm with you for 100%.
With no preseason and like you just mentioned, man,
all those new starters.
Yeah,
that's why I'm going. I'm saying it early. That's why I'm saying it early.
You saying that about Breeze too?
Breeze look pretty old too now. You don't want to talk about Breeze?
Breeze older than Tom.
Yeah, you want to talk
he
about
really
Breeze
did.
Now?
I ain't say nothing. Breeze
and
won
I ain't
the game.
Watched the game.
Breeze won the game.
And Breeze looked old just off the highlight.
Because Tom Brady had a couple throws where it's like, oh shit, I didn't know you still had zip like that.
Yeah.
There was a couple throws. I'm like, well, damn, Tom, let it rip. Drew Breeze got a water pistol now, dog.
He looked like Manning.
He do, dog. This thing right here ain't got no juice left.
Hey, remember what I
And Michael Thomas is out for a couple weeks, so we're going to see what happens.
And he was held down to three catches. You talking about Mr. 155 catches? Three catches?
Michael Thomas. Remember what I asked y'all in the chat? I asked y'all, was Breeze done? Because he was stuck on 94 yards for a minute.
Oh,
yeah, you sure did.
I wasn't watching the game, so I just kept looking at the highlights. I was like, damn, is he not throwing the ball? What's going on?
Hey, I think
third quarter.
So in y'all's opinion, who's going to be done first, Breeze or Brady?
Breeze?
Yeah, I think with older quarterbacks, man, I think you can't evaluate older quarterbacks like you do Deshaun or you. My bad. I don't think you can evaluate older quarterbacks like Breeze and Brady like you do young quarterbacks like Mahomes and Deshaun. I think all you need from older quarterbacks is just keep me in the game. Close it out for me. I think that Drew Brees may not have – Drew Brees is not the same guy he was 5 years ago, obviously. I'm not putting everything on him. I just want Drew Brees in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, to play well. Same thing with Brady. The Bucs need Brady to just be – manage the game well enough through three quarters and in the fourth quarter bring it home for me. You know what I'm saying? In those key drives. So I think.
They're not going to ask Brady. They ain't going to ask him to throw 350 yards and
right. Or ask him to throw it 45 times.
But the thing, though, about Bruce Arians, I'm not saying that, like, the onus is, like, Brady has to do that to win. But there's going to be games where Brady's going to throw for 300-400 yards just because of the nature of the offense.
Right.
You know, like, Bruce Arians wants to put it downfield. He got two wide receivers, bro, that can go down there. Plus a plethora of tight ends. And look, people don't know this because everybody thinks Leonard Fournette is just, I'm going to run over you type of running back. The man had 60 some odd catches last season in Jacksonville.
Five rushes for 5 yards.
Who else is they throwing it to?
You said how many?
5 rushes for 5 yards yesterday. They can't win like that.
Oh, no, of course not. Of course not.
He just got there.
Yeah, he just got there. He's getting ingratiated.
Literally just got there.
Huh? Leonard.
Literally just got there.
So, you know, like I said, give this team 4 to 6 weeks, bro. They're not going to win the division.
They're going to miss the playoffs. They're going to the best record is going to be 9-7.
I mean,
it's
we know Carolina's going to win the division, but who's going to come in second? That's the question.
Carolina.
In the NFC South?
Yes.
Carolina's I think it's Tampa Bay. I don't think Carolina got it like that.
I think y'all sleeping on Carolina.
You are sleeping on Carolina.
Carolina's not in the division.
I'm telling you.
Hey.
You look good.
Shelton, tell them about Carolina, Shelton.
We lost, but we look good yesterday. I'm not going to lie.
I thought y'all.
Yeah, they lost.
They played the Raiders, right?
Weren't y'all up in that game, too, for most of that game?
It was back and forth. it was, man. A couple key plays. I was pleased watching the game, put it that way. I expected it to be what it was. It's funny because – let me tell y'all something about football yesterday. Most of those teams that I watch, I watch almost every game. Most of those teams look exactly like they did the year before. We talk about like Dallas, for example.
Yep. Dallas same old team.
That was the same team. It was like this was like week 17. You know what I'm saying? It's game 17. It's the same thing. Same thing with the Panthers too. We're losing close games. All Tampa Bay turnovers and losing. It's the same thing for a lot of these teams, so nothing's really different. And most of them are going to be what you expect them to be. And that's what I got to say. The Panthers are going to win the division, and that's that. The Falcons,
the
same thing.
I was impressed with the Rams. I thought the Rams looked better.
Yep.
So, Manny, do you think – was that offensive pass interference call, was that good or bad?
Bullshit. I thought both of the calls, the big calls this past weekend, were terrible. I thought the pass interference –
AJ was weird.
The AJ one. That,
so, but that's for the game, bro. Like, you can't call that shit for the
game.
Man,
that was. I think the one in the Rams game was more egregious. I thought that was just horrible.
Oh, he straight
horrible
flop.
Call. Was a horrible call. If you're an official,
Ramsey sold it.
I got to dock your paycheck. Like, that was a terrible call. Like, you can't.
Yeah, it was hand fighting, bro.
You can't. That was clear.
The green one was definitely more blatant than the Rams.
Yeah, the AJ Green one was more blatant.
Ramsey sold that shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the AJ Green one was more blatant, but I still think they were both two bad calls.
I agree, Manny.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna tell you who I thought looked the worst. The damn Browns, boy. What the hell is that?
I was gonna say, bro. I got a question for you. Is Baker Mayfield the worst number one overall pick of the last decade? And I got the list right here.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me the
starting from 2010. Mm-hmm. We got Sam Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
2011, Cam Newton. 2012, Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. 2013, Eric Fisher. 2014, Jadeveon Clowney. 2015, hey. Jameis Winston.
I thought you just naming quarterbacks. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying number one. Yeah, there's number one picks. 2014, Jadeveon Clowney. 2015, Jameis Winston. 2016, Jared Goff. 2017, Myles Garrett. And then we get to Baker Mayfield. Then we got Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow.
Yeah, he's the worst. Or Eric Fisher. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a tackle. That was a tackle.
Yeah. It would be him.
Drafted by Kansas City. He was a Pro Bowler.
Go ahead, Sheldon.
It would be him to me. And the reason why is Sam Bradford. The reason why it's Baker for me is because of the high expectations. Not only did he put it on himself, but everybody else put it on him around him. He was given the palace. You know what I'm saying? This dude got every wide receiver you could think of. He got a 1 and 1A. He had great tight ends all around him. This dude got a great offense around him. Yeah, he got a spotty line, but he got, two Pro Bowl running backs behind him. What more could you ask for? And he's done nothing with it.
Nothing.
If that dude was the same skin tone as us, he'd be out on his ass right now. So they tripping. I'm tired of him getting passes.
Facts. The problem with Baker Mayfield was he's the ultimate boom or bust prospect. But when you're boom or bust, you shouldn't go number one. Like I said it when I said it at the time. I'm like, Baker Mayfield is either going to make someone look really smart or really stupid. But that's a hell of a chance you're taking with the number one pick. And you better be right. And so far, they're not looking right. And he doesn't have the excuses, let's say, that a Sam Darnold does, that just has terrible coaching and just literally.
I'm not
making excuses for Darnold because I'm already on the Trevor Lawrence countdown. So trust. But I'm just saying, if you put Sam Darnold in that situation and Baker Mayfield, at the very least, that team is a sneaky playoff team. They'll sneak in as a sixth seed. Like, Baker Mayfield has done nothing. I mean, you put Baker Mayfield on the Jets. I mean, the Jets don't even win a game.
Even worse. Yeah. Baker at this point, and I'm not a Sam Darnold guy, but I realize the reality of that situation with New York. He doesn't have weapons.
Nothing. He has nothing.
He doesn't have coaching. He don't have nothing.
Bro,
that's why you pick number one.
And Baker had coaching? But Baker had
Adam Gase.
But Baker had talent.
He had Freddie Kitchens.
Talent. I understand.
Adam Gase.
Hold on. Who wanted Freddie Kitchens?
Time out.
No, wait. Who wanted?
You're making my point.
Baker. I'm asking you.
That's Baker, organization. Okay. That's a bad organization.
But that's Baker. Hold on. That's Baker as well.
Okay. But when did Baker win games?
His first year.
His first five or six starts.
He was a black man.
He had a better coach then, and he was able to win games. So Baker right now still, it looks like, don't have a coach.
But let's – okay. You know what? Like, there's a balance of shit, right? And sometimes if you have a great head coach, you can overcome not-so-good talent. And sometimes when you got great talent, you can overcome not-so-great coaching.
But he has better talent now, but he doesn't have the coach.
No. He's had amazing talent since day one. They had OBJ. They had Jarvis.
Is the talent better now?
He didn't have OBJ day one.
Is the talent better now than it was when he won? Is the talent better now or when he was winning those games?
It's better now.
All right. What's the difference? He don't have a coach. We can't say he's had better coach.
What does Baker do good? Because
accuracy.
Hell no.
Commercials.
Thank you.
Pretty much.
Baker Mayfield.
His lines on the commercials.
Baker Mayfield was a hell of a college quarterback.
You said what?
Baker Mayfield was a hell of a college quarterback that they thought was that rah-rah, you know, that chip on your shoulder, all that shit was going to translate over. Twice. Yeah, that bro, you can't bring up the I walked on twice when you were the number one pick. Like, get over that. That chip on your shoulder, that shit don't work when you were the number one pick. So stop, please. Stop bringing up high school. Nigga, you the number one pick. What are you doing now? Like, so they thought that shit was going to translate over into the NFL, and it didn't. You know the problem with Baker Mayfield is? He doesn't have Lincoln Riley. That's the problem.
100.
That's culture.
No, Ken, you keep wanting to call culture. You put who the short quarterback with Arizona right now?
Kyler Murray.
With the Browns? I don't give a damn who the coach is, bro.
Correct.
But I will say coaching does matter. Coaching does matter with a young quarterback.
But to your point, they got what's his name? Cliff Kingsbury. Which we all killed him at first, but it's looking good now.
But here's the thing too.
Because his player
Kyler Murray has a whole bunch of talent around him.
Now he just got Hopkins.
Look. Y'all ain't gonna motherfucking punk me. Y'all ain't gonna tell me. You swap out that damn quarterback up there in Cleveland, and they're not a better team, dog.
I am absolutely.
I'm gonna tell you. You give me any other start. No, I'm not gonna say any of them. You give me out of 30 teams, give me the top 23 quarterbacks, I'll take over Baker.
You take Dwayne Haskins over Baker?
That's about the same thing.
That's what I said. I had a count.
I'll take Haskins. I'll take Haskins.
He said, is it top 10 now? You'll take the top 10 quarterbacks?
No, I'll take the top 23 quarterbacks over Baker. Now, here's the thing.
Forget the top 10. I'm gonna give you some names. Would you take Dwayne Haskins? You said no, right? Or you said it's about the same.
I would. Okay. And I wouldn't argue if you wanted him though. Either though.
Would you take Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Talk about him. Talk about you.
Would you take Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I wouldn't take Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No. I wouldn't take Fitzpatrick. No.
Long term, I wouldn't take Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, but for this season, I would take Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He's Fitzmagic for 1 year.
Josh Allen. Would you take Josh Allen over Baker Mayfield? I think you would, right?
Yes. I would.
Stafford. I think you would, right?
Yeah, I would too.
Trubisky. Would you take Trubisky over Baker Mayfield?
I would take a trash can before I take Trubisky.
I would take Trubisky over Baker Mayfield.
I'm sorry. Trubisky to me is the worst in the league, but that's another.
Worst in the league?
Another conversation for another day. Give me another name, Manny.
Another name. Would you take Gardner Minshew?
Yes.
Facts.
Yes.
Gardner Minshew is nice. Gardner Minshew is nice. I kept telling Ken. I loved Gardner Minshew. I watched him up here in Washington State, and I kept watching games with his. And I was like, yo, I like this little dude. And then I was like,
that's your guy? That's your guy, Manny?
I like Gardner Minshew, bro. I think he can play. Right. He can play. I didn't think he was going to be a Pro Bowler now, but I thought he could be like a Ryan Fitzpatrick where he could start, win you some games.
So give me another name, Manny. Let's keep going.
Man. Oh God.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. 100%. We discussed that. Damn. Obviously, Big Ben. You wouldn't take no.
That's Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah.
Yes. Teddy
Bridgewater.
Teddy. Yes.
I would
definitely take Teddy.
Kirk Cousins.
I'm not a Teddy Bridgewater.
Daniel
guy.
Jones.
I would take
Danny
Kirk
Dimes.
Cousins. Too.
Kirk Cousins.
I would take Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones.
I would. Yep.
Carson Wentz.
He's from Duke.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Carson Wentz, no.
Derek Carr.
Ooh. Yes.
Ryan
Drew
Tannehill.
Locke. Way better Drew Locke.
Huh?
Ryan Tannehill?
Yes. With that roster, hell yeah.
Drew Locke.
Questionable, but I would take him.
Sam Darnold.
I would definitely take him.
I'm going through the divisions.
I mean, you're proving people's point. It's a wrap for Baker this year. Unless they have a hell of a run, like, and win five of the next seven.
Hey, they need to go get them Trey Lance or Justin Fields, bro. Real talk.
Would you take if I offered you right now, Jameis Winston for the next 15 games or Baker, would you take Jameis Winston?
Jameis. Give me Jameis all day. Look, you know what? Because look, Baker's not going to throw for 30 touchdowns. And Baker's not going to throw for 5,000 yards ever in his career. He's not going to do it.
Oh, they got the lead. 62-61.
Yeah, they got the lead.
Is the game over?
Oh, come on, man.
And don't say what I say until it's over.
Hey, it's over.
It's some butts about to get tight.
It's a game of what? It's a game of what? All right. And this is they run.
But the Clippers had theirs.
It's they run. I know. The Clippers had theirs, and the Denver was bound to have theirs.
I agree with that. All I'm saying is that pressure. Pressure.
Hey, let me ask y'all something about football.
You
want
to sing a pressure B? Pressure. That's what it's going to be.
We're going to bust pipes.
Because here's the thing.
Hey, so out of the games this weekend, which team impressed y'all the most out of the games that you saw?
Seattle. And I'm going to tell you why Seattle. It feels like Pete Carroll said, okay, Russ, let's, you do you. We're not going to run the ball 50 times.
That's one game, though.
We're going to follow your lead now. And that defense, they were flying all over the damn place. Russell Wilson was 31 out of 35 for 322 and 4 touchdowns. And he's arguably the best quarterback in the league. We've seen him do it with a limited offense. It just seems like they're opening it up for him. And
Let's hope.
It's 1 week. But if they have done that, I like Seattle.
For me, Seattle was a good pick. I don't know. I like what I saw from the Rams. It could have been more Cowboys than about the Rams, but I like what I saw about the Rams. I feel like there's more. I think a lot of the problems with the Rams last year, besides injuries, were I think they had the Super Bowl hangover. I think this year they're a year removed from the Super Bowl. I think Goff is a weird player to evaluate. Some games you love him, some games you don't like him. He's weird. But when Goff, the thing I say about Goff is when everything, the situation is perfect around Goff, you can win with Goff. It's just when things break down and you need Goff to take you home, that's the problem. But I think the Rams look good. I think their defense looks much improved. Their O-line is still good. I think they're doing it running back by committee this year, so that works a little bit better instead of having to rely necessarily on Ty Gurley. We all know that's a dangerous proposition with his health. So I thought the Rams looked good. I had another team in my head, but I forgot. My bad.
I would say mine's is Buffalo. I was impressed by them. I was impressed by them just for the fact that this is their year to take the East. That someone has to win the division. Someone has to be the king.
The Patriots.
And they look like they're the ones that.
Yeah, the Patriots ain't letting that go, bro.
I was not impressed with Buffalo.
Look. And not to shit on Buffalo, because, I like Buffalo. I'm considering them in Madden and everything.
Yeah.
But when you have a brand new quarterback, and that quarterback, his name is Cam Newton, and you go out there, you have zero penalties.
Who do they play?
I understand that. But look at all of these teams that have new big-time players, coaching change, roster turnover, all of this type of stuff. But they look messy. Them motherfuckers look like Cam been there for some years.
But now. I'm not impressed because it's Belichick. I've seen Belichick work with quarterbacks, bro. So like when you ask who I'm most impressed with, I'm impressed with Buffalo being that dominant and being like, we gonna take this East this year. Brady's gone.
Honestly,
we ready to take it.
I feel you, Nick. I mercilessly watched that whole game. I was not impressed. I was not impressed with Buffalo. I thought if the Jets had anybody, the Jets could have basically reincarnated Dan Shula and put him on the sidelines. If they had any semblance of a coaching, the Jets could have won that game. So I wasn't that impressed with Buffalo, honestly. I remember the team that I was impressed with, the Steelers. Ben, ooh, for being out a year, he looked really good. He looked a little rusty early, but I thought I think he settled down as the game wore on. I think if he stays healthy, if they keep him upright and with that defense, man, the Steelers could do something. I still worry about that offense.
That offense don't look too good.
I think they're young. That's the problem with that offense. So I think their offense is where their defense was just a couple years ago, where they just had a lot of young players that needed to develop. I think that's the same thing with, with the Steelers offense, but they have some guys that can blow up this year. Like Claypool, the big wide receiver from Notre Dame. I think that dude is going to be a monster. James Washington. I think that dude is going to be a monster too. So the Steelers have a making of an offense. They're not there right now, but they might be there week 8, week 9, week 10. But that defense is legit though.
Yeah, that defense is legit.
I was really impressed with Arizona, man. I watched Arizona play San Francisco, and the way Kyler Murray commanded that offense and moved the ball, it you know, against that San Francisco defense is stingy, man. And he made it look easy. And he got the ball around to the places where it needed to be. You got a vet like Larry Fitzgerald, you got a dominant player like what's his name?
Damn, who am I thinking about?
Isaiah?
Hopkins. Yeah, I'm tripping.
My bad. And, you know what I said to you? I thought you were still talking about the Steelers.
Yeah, but and then you got Christian Kirk, the other wide receiver. Man, they got some weapons out there. And Kenyon Drake is
Andy.
Ball.
Andy is
and
a
Larry.
Ball.
And Larry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they got, you know, they got pieces, man. So they going to be scary. I just think that team's going to be scary. Another interesting fact real quick that I saw was that, you know, this was the first time in history that 10 black quarterbacks have started the first game of the season. And they went 7-3, by the way. 7-3 in one game, two of them played back, you know, against each other. So, of course, both couldn't win. So 7-3 was impressive. And I think there's 4 minority coaches or 5. I think they went 4-1 in the, you know, minority coaching rank. So shout out to our people on, you know, on yesterday's game.
Hey, Manny, since you're on the West Coast, I got a question for you. Should San Francisco try to trade for a QB during this season?
San Francisco, man. Jimmy Garoppolo. He did take him to the Super Bowl. He did fuck up the Super Bowl, but he did take him to the Super Bowl. Nah, I don't think they should trade for. I think they're all in on Garoppolo, man. I don't love their offense though. Like, I've even said that last year. Like, I don't know. I just watched that team. I just who's outside of Kittle, who's the second best player on that offense?
Garoppolo, Debo?
If he's healthy,
but Mostert's, you know, one of those running backs.
Mostert,
nah,
he's nice, but. This running back by committee.
Whichever back, those are some good running backs.
And that zone blocking scheme helps a lot. Yeah. I just don't love their. You know what they remind me? They remind me of Seattle those years that, like, I didn't love their offense. Like when it was just Doug Baldwin and a cast of characters. It was just like it was beast mode, and then it was just like a bunch of cast of characters. Russell Wilson was still young. Like I just don't love that offense. And I think the problem with them is when you put pressure on that offense to try to score, I don't really feel that offense. But they got a good coach, they got a great defense, their offensive line is, I think San Francisco gonna be all right.
Hey Ken,
damn, 73-65?
Ken, your guy just hit a wide open three, man. So
I know, man. Hey, look, you know what? I'm gonna do this. Hey, man, we gotta celebrate black greatness when it happens.
That nigga hate.
Hey, I don't know if y'all saw it, but Doc was just almost on the court yelling at them like to get up and play. So Doc is doing everything he can do, man. These boys just gotta play. And they
Hey Nick, is Danny Dimes still the guy?
Danny Dimes is definitely still the guy. Have you seen that offensive line?
He's a turnover machine, bro.
You can't go.
He's a turnover machine, bro.
Bro, it's the Steelers.
The white Jameis Winston.
It was the Steelers front 7 is that they'll do that to anybody, in my opinion. Like you can't, especially when you have a shitty offensive line. Barkley couldn't even get. He didn't even get 20 yards.
Saquon had 6 yards.
Just for 6 yards.
6 yards. So Nick, I agree with you on that. If Saquon only had 6 yards rushing. Man, ain't nothing you can do. What can you do with that?
Exactly. Yeah, so, I like what I saw as far as his poise. He fucked up. It was decision making where he fucked up. As far as that stupid lob that he threw when he didn't need to when they were in the red zone, that could have been at least 3 points. You know what I mean?
That's my biggest question mark with him is his decision making.
He got better. He's gotten better with the fumbling as far as like ball security. I've seen him like, all right, he's really trying to protect the ball this year. But yeah, as far as the interceptions, I mean, the one that early to TJ Watt was kind of like that was a timing thing. You could tell, again, these are young QBs who don't have preseason on. Like, it's his second year. So yeah. I like what I saw, but obviously there's a lot of room for improvement.
I got a question for B.
I'm about to ask y'all, how do y'all think Cam Newton look?
He looked good. He looked like regular Cam, to be honest.
I don't like him running a lot.
I was surprised about that.
Another three can.
And what you about to ask me, Manny? Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, who gets fired first, Patricia or Adam Gase?
Patricia.
Brian Flores, because he's black.
But besides that,
since he's been our head coach, he's been 9-23-1.
And all these motherfuckers think they Belichick. They ain't got the rings.
Right. They ain't right. Exactly. You gonna fire someone in four seasons that had a winning record and two playoff appearances in them four seasons. You fire him for what we got right now.
Hey, but he has a pencil in his ear and he has a cool beard and he has a
And he came from Belichick.
He has an automations engineering degree.
And he's from the Belichick tree. Oh, he's gonna bring a winning culture into the Lions. Oh, he's gonna do all this because he's from the Belichick tree. Get the hell out of here, man.
You know what the problem with the Belichick tree is? Everybody thinks they Belichick. Yeah.
And
you're not. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. That's a great point.
The Lions going to do Lion things. So it's just like, you know, when my folks call me about the game, you know, signing the press, I was just like, why y'all stressing? It's the Lions. They're going to do Lion things, man. So until they show me otherwise, I think it's probably time for them to blow it up, man. I think the Matthew Stafford, you know, that experiment is just over. You just got to just build. It's time to build from the ground up now at this point, in my opinion.
That was PG?
Yeah, that was PG. That's probably the only bucket he'll hit.
They had to swing the ball around three times down there.
Nice.
Ooh, ball movement. Somebody had to take the shot too. You can't.
Let's see what the Clippers are made of, man. Let's see what the Clippers. All that shit they talk. Let's see what the Clippers are made of.
Hey, there's a lot of time left.
Oh yeah, plenty of time left.
No. I'm just saying. Let's see if the Clippers. This is now. This is where your money. This is where you make your money now.
But Denver's
all that shit the Clippers
now.
Talk.
Denver's all that shit the Clippers loose. Talk. They like. They just look a little loose on the court. But I think
they're playing with house money.
Yeah, so what Doc did was he had to put Lou and Montrez back in the game because, you know, he had to put Reg Jackson in. Mm-hmm. So he had to put
– That's why they lose this shit.
So we had to put Lou and Montrez back in the game. They're probably going to play all the way.
They got to.
Yeah, they're going to probably –
it's
that's
game
why,
seven.
Yeah, so that's why they started to move a little bit more and get a little bit more offensive rhythm. So
back to the NFL, anything else that stuck out to y'all?
Aaron Rodgers looked really good.
That goes without saying, man. That's A-Rod, man. That's the
yeah,
guard.
Yeah, but
right
the last few, but his performance last week or like this past Sunday was the best performance he had since 2016.
His best opening performance. It was the most yards, touchdowns, completion percentage, and his fourth highest rated passer rating in an opening game.
Yeah.
His accuracy is just. It's like the throws he makes and just the tight windows, man. It's just it's crazy, man.
Ridiculous. I definitely, to me, Patrick Mahomes looked different.
And that's
scary because,
yep.
You know, we definitely knew him as a gunslinger. Mm-hmm. But that first game against the Titans, it was just like, I'm going to cut you up.
Yeah.
Or I said the Titans, I meant the Texans.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm going to just cut you up. And it's like, yeah, I could take the big play, but I'm gonna just take this, and we're just gonna win the game methodically.
And that's why I don't. This is only week one, but I don't think the Chiefs will have that Super Bowl hangover like most teams will, because they switched their offense up a little bit. They ran the ball a lot.
They're gonna. Let's be honest, guys. If they stay healthy, they're gonna waltz to a Super Bowl.
I think the Ravens. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Salty. Go ahead.
That's what I was gonna say. We're sleeping on Baltimore though, because they look pretty good. Mm-hmm. On both sides of the ball.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Now the Ravens will be the one team I think that can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But this is the enigma, right? Like all the great teams force you to do something. With Baltimore, it's are we gonna, you know, crowd the box? Are we gonna spy Lamar? And then Lamar, like with that offense, you know, the run pass option, all of that, with all of these tight ends, Mark Andrews looked amazing. He had hella one-hand catches and shit like that. You can't stop it, right? What are you going to do? You're going to play coverage? He's going to run. What are you going to do? with Kansas City now, with that run game, what are you gonna do? You gonna crowd the box and leave the cheetah out there 1-on-1? You gonna leave Mecole Hardman 1-on-1? You gonna leave Sammy Watkins 1-on-1? You gonna leave Travis Kelce 1-on-1?
Especially when the rookie was like, he had over 100 yards and like a tub and some other like.
Yeah. And here's the thing, back at LSU, he was a catching running back. You know what I'm saying? He ain't even catch nothing yet. So they haven't even thrown that wrinkle into the
it's unfair. It's unfair.
Yeah, it's unfair. If I'm a defensive coordinator, bro, you got to pay me an extra bonus to game plan against them because there ain't nothing you can do. Mm.
Is
Kansas, this is their time. They should win at least three Super Bowls. This is their time. This is their time. And I think going forward. No, I was going to say, going forward, it's going to be hard to keep all these motherfuckers, especially with that Mahomes contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's they shored up. I think Tyreek Hill got one. This may be his last year on that little deal. He'll be smart to take a pay cut. But they already got Travis Kelce locked up. So the rest is just rookies for most part. Sammy Watkins ain't really.
They put Kawhi on the joke.
They had Paul George on him in the last game. It didn't work out.
Can't do nothing with him.
They desperate. You putting Kawhi on.
Mm-hmm. They need to
save his fouls also because he's been like one of the best offensive players.
Good rotation. Got to make that shot. You want to win the game.
Like the green. Man. He good for like 2 threes. Man, he done. He got it. It's just third quarter.
It's the way they playing.
Yeah.
What did y'all think of the fans booing in Kansas City opening night?
That it was never about to flag from the get go. Never ever.
We knew that.
Yeah. It was just proven that it was never about the flag. That's what I think about it. Like once I heard about that. I mean, once I heard about it, and then when I saw it, the clip of it. Yeah, I mean, at this point, we all know, and that solidified that it was never about the flag.
Yeah, he did stick his foot out.
Trez and Lou, man, their energy, them once they got back in the game,
it hypes them up.
It's helping, yeah, it's calming things down. They're going to have to ride it out.
Where's MPJ?
He probably not going to play game 7, bro.
No, he's going to play in the 4th.
Real quick shout out to the Dead End Sports Reddit thread, Kill DYLXO7. He's been I don't know whoever this person is wants to track our picks as far as the NFL. I got a few games for y'all to pick, just like four of them.
We ain't even do NFL thing.
We ain't like, do nothing. So I'm just gonna do games of the week since we started late. I got 3 games. The first one, we talk about black quarterbacks. We're going to see the best 2 black, well, 1 MVP and 1 always in the race for MVP, New England versus Seattle. Who y'all got?
Seattle.
New England, Seattle?
Yeah.
That's Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle.
I'm going to go with Cam. It's Belichick.
Why are you being disrespectful to yourself?
What do you mean?
Man, look at the rosters, man. Like,
I get you, but we've seen Belichick beat better teams before.
But look, here's you can't. There's certain guys you just can't necessarily scheme for or outthink. Russell Wilson's one of those guys.
I'm not saying Russell Wilson ain't gonna do his thing,
but then if it comes down to points, Seattle's gonna score more than New England, in my opinion. They got more.
They got more, but shit, so did Atlanta.
You can't trust Georgia team. None of them.
What you got, Ken?
Seattle.
All right, the next one. Hey, Sheldon, this was you. Carolina at Tampa Bay. Who you got?
Carolina. That's easy.
I got Tampa Bay. Carolina's defense isn't that. This is going to be a practice game for them.
Come on, man.
Carolina.
I'm going with Carolina.
I got Tampa.
I'm going with Carolina too.
I got Tampa. I think Brady gonna be pissed off that game. Yep. He's gonna watch that film and he's gonna miss all the throws. He's seen all the throws he missed. That bad interception. I think Brady.
Oh, that's disrespectful. Hey, Malone, run, replay that, bro. That's not a foul, dog.
You don't need to do that.
Yeah, it is.
No, look at it. That's not no foul. Where's the foul?
You'll see it.
Pushing the back. Pushing the back.
You'll see it.
Bro, that matters for Harold. You know what I'm saying? He ain't that offensively talented.
Okay.
It's game seven.
Definitely a foul.
Yeah, I think Brady's going to throw another. I think he's on a pick six run. So I think he's in a given mood. He goes,
Nigga Nick, man.
I'm expecting another pick six in Carolina.
Nigga Nick.
Brother, you see how he built? You can't have that white man out there like that. Last one I got Atlanta at Dallas.
That's definitely Dallas.
I got Dallas. Dallas should have won that game last Sunday. And I think they're going to.
They took away Dak's game winning drive. I was pissed.
Is it on the road or?
It's Dallas is at home.
Dallas at home? Yeah, Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Dallas is who we thought they were.
And Dallas is going to have fans in the building too. I think they're the only team. Them and Kansas City and a couple other teams. Yeah. Yeah. Dallas all the way.
Dallas or who? Atlanta?
Yeah.
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
I'm going to go with the Falcons.
I'm going with the black quarterback, the one who should get paid. Going with Dallas.
Well, look at your guy. Your guy.
Look at Millsap. Hey, but Jokic has four fouls, man.
Oh, that's why they took him out. That's what it was.
Well, no, it's also the end of the quarter, too.
Yeah, but if
but yeah, if you got another one, too.
No, you would have taken him out earlier.
Because that's what I don't think that's their strategy. Let's just go at Jokic.
Yep, it is. It is. Montrez is going to try to use his speed and quickness, dude, mm-hmm. at Jokic.
Jokic's got to be smart. Jokic's got to be smart.
And Malone's got to be smart. Figure out a way, even though they may just pick and roll until they get the match what they want, but he's going to have to figure that out because I don't even know how many fouls Harold got.
I would probably play a little zone to protect.
Yeah,
a little bit here and there, spot zone. You know what I'm saying? Keep him out of those pick and roll situations.
Yeah, Harold only has one foul, and he's stayed in foul trouble. So I don't know.
You better get four of them.
This feels like the refs trying to do something here. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Come on,
Jokic in foul trouble and Harold not. I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
It should be. I feel you, Ken. It should be a little bit more evenly distributed.
We'll see, but they want that Clippers LA.
We all want that Clippers LA.
Of course they do.
That's everybody.
So does the NBA.
They
about to steal this game from.
They're glad the Lakers are in it, so they know they can at least survive as long as they have one LA team. But I mean, if this was Denver versus Portland in the conference finals, oh my God. They know.
That would be kind of exciting, though. From a
basketball perspective, I'm talking about from a markets and getting teams and fan bases. Yeah.
So, Manny,
what's up? I mean,
you said you had some things you wanted to get off your chest, man, about the Jets.
Yeah,
you gonna get the floor to you, bro.
Oh my God, man, Jets. Where do I start?
It's what
where
you get, bro.
JTS. Yes.
Where do I start, man? Jesus.
You ain't got to be an asshole.
YouTube, y'all help me out, man. Dead end sports listeners, man. Y'all help me out, man. What should I do, man? It's been 24 years of the same shit, man. It's just like, literally, you know, you get excited, you hire a new coach, they stink. You bring in another coach, they stink. New regime, they stink. It just keeps over and over and over and over. Let's see what the countdown is now. 1968. We are at this year in 2021 will make 53 years since the last Super Bowl.
Do like Washington, man. Do like Washington and get rid of your mascot.
You know,
change the colors.
You know what's the most offensive thing about it is, bro? Like, if it was a situation where we actually had talent around us and we were just underachieving, that'd be one thing. But how? It is criminal that this franchise has Sam Darnold, whatever you may think about Sam Darnold, but a young quarterback and the best receiver you've given him is Le'Veon Bell. Literally, Le'Veon Bell. Drew Locke has Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, Jake Butt, Melvin Gordon, Phillip Lindsay. I'm just using just Drew Lock.
Hey, hold up though, Manny. Robbie Anderson had 5 catches for 110 yards yesterday in the test.
Oh yeah, don't get me started on that. But we replaced him with the immortal Breshad Perryman. Jesus fucking Christ, bro. Oh my God. We literally traded our best player. But we got picks. Do y'all know in the same draft, I think it was the 2016 draft, in the third round, they drafted Ardarius Stewart from Alabama. In that same draft, like 5 picks later, Chris Godwin went to Tampa. And then I think a few picks later, I forgot who the other big time receiver, Kenny Galladay, went like 80th to Detroit. That should just tell you everything that you need to know about the Jets, man. Seriously. Le'Veon, their best offensive player, gets hurt. So he's now on IR for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man. I just don't know what Adam Gase, like, honestly, I applaud the man because it takes talent to be that inept as a coach. Like, literally, it like, dead ass, like, it takes that much talent to be that inept as a coach. This team let Josh Allen, who can't throw, who literally cannot throw, has a good arm, but literally doesn't know where the football is going. Like, I'm convinced he just throws the ball and just doesn't know. He just wishes and prays that it goes into the right receiver, right? He let that man go for 350 yards passing. Oh, my God, man. I'm done, man. I don't even have the energy, bro. Like, I don't even have the energy to even discuss this franchise, bro. Because what's the point? Our owner is in England somewhere, you know, whining and dying, and also baby touching women, too, by the way, while he's over there. His brother is inept. His brother is completely inept. The GM, I like Joe Douglas. He comes from that Ozzie Newsome tree, you know, from Philly and an Ozzie Newsome tree, I think. So he's got potential. I support what he's doing, but damn, man. Oh my God. Allen Robinson's available. Why haven't they made a trade for Allen Robinson yet? It is beyond me when they need wide receivers. This week, their best receiver, Sam Darnold's best receiver this week might be Chris Hogan.
Not Crowder.
Oh, wow.
Well, besides Crowder.
Oh, Crowder. Yeah, I forgot about Crowder.
Besides Crowder.
Good game.
It's Chris Hogan. Well, dog. I'm sick, bro.
Kept Todd Bowles.
Honestly, I mean, Bowles was trash anyway. Don't go that far. But honestly, like if I had to choose, it's like the 2020 election. If I had to choose between Biden and Trump, if I had to choose between Gase and Bowles, give me Bowles. Give me both, because Adam Gase is so inept, bro. Like, no adjustments. Like, the team hates him. Like, I've never seen a coach, maybe since Rich Kotite, I've never seen a coach where you can honestly actively see the team just literally doesn't give a fuck about what this man is talking about. Like, just has no emotion whatsoever when this man speaks in the locker room, probably. So, yeah, man, I don't even know what else to say, bro. Like, if you're a Jets fan and you listening and watching, bro, like, let me know. Should I find a new team? That's what I should. Yeah. Should I find a new team?
Bro, you might have to be a Bills fan if you want to stay in the New York area.
Oh my God, bro. Jesus Christ. Hopefully they've killed Sam. He killed Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold's done, bro. I think it's mentally. I don't even think it's talent wise. I think they just mentally have beaten this kid to the ground.
I think Sam Darnold could have a Ryan Tannehill career. Where, like, it's not the team that...
Yeah, he's going to go somewhere else.
He's
going to go somewhere else. That is the perfect example. He's going to go somewhere else and flourish because they're just going to kill him.
To be honest, if he got traded to San Francisco and they got off Jimmy G, that would be a nice look. Kyle Shanahan can bring some confidence out of you.
I tweeted that the Jets should just... The Trevor Lawrence watch has started. But honestly... What is even Trevor Lawrence going to do if the dark cloud over the Jets is still the same? What is Trevor Lawrence going to do? You know what I mean? Shit, man. Hey, at least the Mets got a new owner.
And you know what, Manny? That's the reason why, to me, a lot of these bad teams, they have to have some level of direction. And when you have a young quarterback, I'm not going to say he's, you know, potentially – I think he's potentially a franchise quarterback. You got to look at what you have around and start getting rid of some of the talent. And specifically, I mean, that defense. So like CJ Mosley, you got to trade him, get picks, get younger. If you look at the blueprint of what Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins have done, I can't remember the GM, but he's also black as well. So shout out to him. They were able. What did I say? What did
I say? We might have to cut this show early.
Because you don't want to listen to Always Right FIFO. Always Right Playoff FIFO.
The game ain't over yet.
It is what it is. That's cool. You going to learn.
You could have been 7 anyway, too.
But
we might have to cut DAS early, bro.
How you going
to
change up the game 7?
I
changed
up because it's game 7. I've been saying that.
We might have to cut DAS early.
You literally said if they up by 5 or if they cut it in 5 before the half, they're going to win. So, but you originally, your original pick was Clippers and 7. So does that not change it up?
Before the game started, what did I tell you back there?
You said
I said Denver was going to win. Before the series started, obviously everybody's going to pick the Clippers. And in my evaluation, of course, the Clippers should win. But as the series progressed, I'm like, Denver's playing like, you know what I'm saying? I can just tell you what my eyes see.
You're not right. That means you're originally wrong, and you just now seen that. You seen the light.
Fellas, we might have to end this show early, dog. We might have to end the show early.
Manny, I'll say what they said in the chat. Hold on, let me grab the first. I don't know if you saw it.
I ain't see
it. Said you guys need to bring back Geno Smith, brother.
That's what I was going to say. I think that'll do it.
Big John Boatwright said, bring all back I, Geno.
Broken John Geno.
All I say is if it's come down to broke John Geno, then I have no hope.
The Dolphins. Y'all got to move off of the CJ Mosleys and guys like that and just accumulate draft picks.
I think if this season falls apart, I think it's going to be a complete fire sale. Like, I could see Le'Veon going. I could see CJ Mosley. I could see everybody. Just be open for business. Honestly, tank. They have 2 first round picks. Whatever their pick is going to be, plus the Seattle pick. The Seattle pick's not going to be that high because we expect Seattle to be a good team.
Man, you said they should tank. I thought that's what they already been doing.
They should tank on purpose. They should tank on purpose.
They may win some games.
They should tank on purpose, man.
They got to trade Le'Veon. They got to trade everything that's worth something.
I agree. I think that team is just. I mean, if you just look at, you just pull up their roster. Like, is there a player on that roster outside of Le'Veon and maybe Darnold? Outside of Le'Veon and Darnold, that you would draft with the first round pick?
Whoa, dang, man! Let me look at this roster.
Man, nut up.
You don't even need to, Sheldon. We'll save your time. Nope.
Nope.
Thanks.
Nope.
All right. Well,
Quinnen Williams is a bust. How are we the only team that ends up with the bad Alabama players? Please answer that.
Don't say that. The Bengals drafted Drake Kilpatrick, bro.
Well, besides Drake Kilpatrick, man. God damn, bro. Like, we always get the terrible Alabama players, man. Literally. Our Darius Stewart.
You call Quinn in the bus, man. Now, how you gonna call him
a
bus?
He's a bus.
Sam Donald is not.
He's a
bus. So Sam Donald's a bus then?
Nah. I mean, okay. It's too soon. It's too soon to call Quinn in a bus. But let's just put it this way. He on the highway to it. Let's just call it that way.
Well, all right, man. Yeah. We got a jet.
Yes, wait for that shit.
I was waiting for that shit.
All right, touche.
Man, how is Nick laughing at you, though, when they ain't won nothing nowhere in Cincinnati?
Man, listen.
Hey, we had Doug Heffernan kick a field goal for us. It's I've been used to this.
We beat y'all asses in the playoffs a couple times, so I'm good.
Hey, Frank Gore is the best player on that team. He's starting this week at running back.
And he's 90.
Fuck. All right, well, let's go watch and see if FIFO right. We got to wait.
We will never hit the end of this 10 years from now. Oh, man. Y'all, 10 years ago.
I'm about to talk cash shit on Twitter, boy. Oh, yes. Be prepared.
Look at playoff P. 31 minutes, 10 points.
It's a long way to go. He could get hot.
30% from the. What is he in closeout games, B? Less than 30%. Get that man out of here.
Man. It's a 13-point game.
He owed back pay to all of them teams that gave him contracts.
It's 8 minutes left, bro.
Eight minutes left, but we'll see. We'll see.
Uh-oh.
Nice rip.
Yeah.
Nice recovery. They got back.
Playoff team. Oh, he missed.
He missed it.
Another three.
Got it. Yep. See that go.
If playoff team.
We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace,
everybody.
Peace.
Ravi said something to my customer.
Yeah, she asked me if this was the Prius of trucks, and I said no.
Oh, no, Ravi.
What? It's not. You want me to just lie to a customer?
Ravi, you always tell your friends their baby is beautiful, and you always tell a soccer mom that she's getting the Prius of whatever the hell it is she's getting!
Vroom Vroom is a workplace comedy set in a used car dealership.
Not used, certified pre-owned.
It's the story of a sort of de facto family, but it just happens to be set in a car dealership in upstate New York.
It's about the friendships, the love that grows, and how they root for each other and fight with each other and build with each other.
Listen to it with your friends. I made it with mine.
Vroom Vroom.
Starring Andy Richter as Gary Galea, Yvette Nicole Brown as Janelle, and John DiMaggio as Wild Ron. Created and directed by Josh Koenigsberg. Vroom Vroom, available now, only on Audible.